listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Who shot you? Separate the weak from the opsa. Leaked hard and creaked in Brooklyn streets. It's on, nigga. Fuck all that bickering beef. I can feel a sweat trickling down your cheek. Your heartbeat sound like Sasquatch feet. Thundering, breaking the concrete. Finish it. Stop, because I called the cops. Neighbors called the cops because they heard mad shots, and I said, who shot you?
Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we are, listen, I only sent him like the first four bars. I'm not going to lie, guys. That was off the dome. I feel like, you know, you guys may be familiar with this voice. You never heard on our podcast before, but it's internationally known. Well, traveled the globe many times, toured everywhere. You know, been on some podcasts even. But first time on our show.
Yes.
It's my man Corey Glover from Living Color, the band. They have a new album coming out called Shade. It's coming out September 8th. It's going to be available on vinyl too. What's going on, Corey?
Hey y'all, what's going on? For real. Man, you have no idea. I am freaking the fuck out right now.
That's incredible. That's right? Incredible. Cause I'm freaking the fuck out. That is so dope, man. It's weird cause, I've never really been in a rock like that. My dad is like,
yeah, now your daddy, right, yeah.
My dad was the one that was always throwing on something like, you gotta hear this, boy. And I, you know,
you know how old people is.
Yeah, it's weird cause you know how other people go through, like, I think you had this rebellious stage in your teens, and a lot of people's rebellion is like, you know, opposite of your parents, like, fuck that shit, I'm gonna listen to. So my teens, my rebellion was like, I'm listening to nothing but rap, that's it, I'm listening to rap for the rest of my life, I'm on this shit. And I started blossoming later in life and listening to different types of music, especially in like college and shit like that.
Yes.
And now I be listening to stuff like, damn, my dad was on some shit. This shit is so dope. Man, it's an honor, to have you on the show, man.
It is, baby.
We definitely want to kick it.
Oh, Karen, you have no idea. Oh man, for real, this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous right now because I may not speak a lot because I'm really about to go to the bathroom and throw up.
So. Oh nah, man, that's not for us, bro. You are now the other thing too, man, because I've been trying to do some research for the interview and stuff so we could talk with you. I didn't want to just, because low-key I hate when shows do interviews with people and they don't
do their background,
you know what I mean, like it starts and they be like, so what's your name again, you know what I'm saying, like y'all do music or something. How did you get into rock like that? Because I know you're a Brooklyn kid, you know,
right.
Born in the 60s, like how did that come about? Because, you know, a lot of people from that era also, you know, branched out into hip hop and R&B, all kinds of stuff. There's so much talent from that era.
Well, I listened to a lot of stuff. I listened to everything. And, you know, what's deep is, like, in my house, like you said, your pops turned you on to stuff. Like, my family, like, listened to all kinds of stuff all at the same time. And we would just, you know, just geek out on music. So I had a wide reference, and you know, when I was a kid, like you talk about your rebellious stage, my rebellious stage was I started listening to like doo-wop music, like I don't know why, because it was all singers, so it was all these harmonies and all these tight harmonies, and at the same time I was getting into hip-hop. At the same time I was like, I can't rap worth a damn, and you know, but I can kind of scream to people, but right. You know, where am I going to find that? And then I found there was a major sort of like, punk rock scene in New York. And what was deep about it was there were a lot, it was completely diverse, but there was a huge scene of black folks that were into punk rock music. And I would get into that. And then I'd find all these bands. And I listened to all this stuff, and then I found there's a band from DC from back in the day called Bad Brains.
Yeah.
Most incredible band I ever heard in my life. And I was like, okay, so how do I do this? You know? And I would go check them out. There was a club in New York called CBGB's, and they'd have these hardcore matinees. Now, I'm coming from Crown Heights, right?
Right.
And I get on the subway and go down to this place. It's got sawdust on the floor, and it's dark, and it's dank, and cats is losing their fucking mind out there. Like, okay, I want to be in this. I want to do this. Definitely, I want to do this.
Yeah, I feel like in a way, man, New York has some of everything.
It does.
So when you hear people, like, it's always like they could. Whereas, like in Charlotte, there's not really a place to go. Like, mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no. Well, they used to be. You know, we used to play out in Charlotte every now and then. And the funny thing is, my brother went to J.C. Smith.
Right.
So I was hanging out there all the time. I spent summers in Charlotte all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I went back to Charlotte the other day. It was like a year or so ago. And I was like, I don't recognize this motherfucking place.
Right.
I don't know this.
Completely different.
I went downtown, and the whole Mecklenburg thing was like, where is this?
Right.
Because mm-hmm. I was there when... just when the Charlotte Observer was starting to become something. And it was still a small town. It was still like the biggest thing around there was like the mall and Bojangles. Like, come on.
Oh, did we lose Corey? Hold up. Oh, there he is.
Can you still hear me?
Yeah, we hear you now. Yeah.
All right. When the Charlotte Hornets was still a AAA team, I had like a property of the Charlotte Hornets T-shirt.
Yeah,
and I come back to Brooklyn, and they're like, "Who the fuck is the Charlotte Hornets?"
it was totally different. It's changed, you know, like with the banks coming in, and then like bringing all those young professionals in, they gentrifying the fuck out of it.
Everything
downtown, like it's crazy. It's got to be a shock to the system because it was areas of town where it was like, "Nigga, don't go down there," and now. You can go down there and it's damn near Disneyland.
Exactly. Yeah, I remember when the Charlotte Airport was one terminal.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just one terminal. And one time I flew down there by myself and my brother was supposed to come get me and he couldn't find me. It's like, how can you not find me in a spot this small? You know? And he was like, now I go to Charlotte Airport, like, God damn, look at this place.
Yeah, it's totally gotten bigger and shit. But yeah, I like I said, I just didn't even know about this scene in Charlotte like that. Cause you know, it just and like I said, in New York, I'm sure that it's just, you know, like it's kind of some of everything. So you can always find somebody into it.
Hell yeah, you could walk down the street and hit and out the windows of people's houses or cars, you'd hear three different types of music. Like you'd hear hip hop coming out of one car, you hear like heavy metal or rock music coming out of another car, and out of somebody's window, some salsa or merengue is playing, and you hear it all at the same time. It's like, okay, that sounds like music.
Yeah,
you know, and that's, you know, and that's the kind of thing that, you know, Living Color tried to be. It's like we tried to take everything that we had. You know, Vernon, the guitar player, you know, came from like this jazz world, but where he started was like in calypso music, which is bizarre. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And, you know, Will Calhoun, the drummer, is like straight jazz fusion kind of thing, you know. And Doug Wimbish, the bass player, is one of the people who started hip hop. He was one of the original people who worked at Sugar Hill. So he's on The Message. He's on, you know, Funky 4+1. He's on, you know, all that Grandmaster Flash stuff. That's Doug Wimbish playing bass on all that stuff.
Holy shit. Mm. I didn't even know that, man. That's y'all go back, man. And
right, so we have our fingers in a lot of different kinds of music and different kinds of genres of music. So we just became like you said, that's what we want this music to be. All the stuff that we know in this rock idiom. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That was another thing about your voice too. I noticed that it doesn't feel like it's an imitation of anybody. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't feel like it's influenced by being like, I'm gonna sound like this guy. It just sounds like unique and authentic. You know what I mean? And it's also, you know, as a black person, sometimes the hurdle for me entering like into music is like, can I understand the person? Like,
right?
You know,
right,
like right, right, there's right. certain, and I'm not knocking the genre. Like, honestly, it's just if I got more into it, I'm sure I'd be able to understand. But like, sometimes you listen to rock that's so hard, you just like, I don't even know what this nigga's saying. It's just, you know, I just know he mad. Right. You know what I'm saying?
You just know he's angry. You just all you hear is his intent. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
It could be a hymn, you know what I'm saying? He could be singing a spiritual hymn. I wouldn't know.
And it would be so intense. I'm like, he's just mad. He want to burn something down.
He could be like, I wake up and smile to Jesus every day. But if it sound like, I wake up and smile to Jesus every day. I wake up and smile. I'd be like, Jesus Christ, this nigga is mad.
You know
what I'm saying? But, I appreciate it because it's like an entry point for somebody like me to be able to immediately be like, okay, I see what this dude's talking about. And it makes me want to listen more.
Yeah, and I think for me, being black and not being raised in that type of genre of music, I could hear the blackness in it. And for a lot of black people, that matters. Like, your voice is so unique. I go, oh, not trying to be funny. I know you, but I go, oh, that's a nigga. I'm cool with this. You know, and I'm not knocking white people to do it. But I'm like, oh, he looks like me. They're singing about shit that matters to me.
Right.
You know, I could feel the blackness, you know, they love my people. They love me. Mm-hmm. Like, cause me and Roger talked about this yesterday. I know for me, I didn't really dabble in that genre of music because.
Oh, I listened yesterday. Don't get it twisted. I heard what you said.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Dope. Karen's up here re-explaining.
I just didn't know.
Yeah, it still trips me out that you listen to the show. I'm still, we not adjusted yet.
Right? We not.
I'm like, we got to tell him how we feel. Oh, wait. He know. Right. He know.
Duke, I listen all the time. Like, your Game of Thrones podcast is what I live for.
Man.
Oh, thank you, baby.
You ain't understanding. The fact that I get to play Guess the Race, damn, Jesus, crazy.
Let's go.
That's so exciting, man.
I was going to offer, you know, I can sing the jingles for you if you need it. Let me tell you something. Y'all sound like shit for real.
We're not singers at all. No,
we're not professional singers or comedians. We have put that out there before.
I appreciate the honesty. You know what I'm saying?
You ain't hurting our feelings.
Yeah. The best part, when we did the show live, we got to hear a whole room of people that can't sing together. So it was
we did.
We was all doing it together. It was okay.
I wanted to come to that so bad. A friend of mine lives in DC. I was telling y'all earlier that Anike, she does the she did the artwork for the record.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to go so bad. We all wanted to go. It was sold out like that.
Next year we got to get a bigger room, man. Yeah, I want to get everybody in there. I mean, I know we have people, we just never know who's listening to the show, to be honest, y'all. And you know, people are so low key with it, you never know. And because I had the same type of thing where, like, if I feel like my presence would either disrupt something or change, like, I'll just be like, oh, I'm a fan of this thing, but I'm just keeping it to me.
I'm just gonna be a fan in the distance,
right?
I play the back all the time, you know. Like, we was at Afropunk last year, and all the guys from the Fan Bros were there, and I went to the tent and I was sneaking around. I was looking around. I was like, "Is that Ben Amin?"
Yeah, that's dope, man. Like, I'm sure the same thing for them, man. They probably, you know, mind blown. Like, what?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's one of the things where you look and you go, "Wow!" And I know you was kind of talking about it before, but with the internet making the world so small, and with you being like internationally known, how did you find this little old podcast?
No, I was listening to Twib. You know, shout out to Elon, because he's from Brooklyn. He's actually from my neighborhood, and we tried to hook up a couple times, it never happened. But I was like, I was listening to them, and I heard you, Rod, on his show, and I was like, who's this dude? He sound like somebody I know. Like, for real, I know this dude. And then I was like, I got your show. I was like, no, I don't know him.
Yeah, I used to call in the 12 all the time, man. Especially when I was working my jobby job.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was like a little nice release, you know, get that 15-minute break. I'm like, I'm gonna call and let them know what I think about what they saying, make some jokes with them, you know, like that was a big thing for me. I used to look forward to that every day. Same thing with Bomani Jones had a radio show called The Morning Jones back in the day. I used to call into that.
Yeah, shout out to him too. Like, these are the kind of people I want to meet. Like, I want to meet Bomani because I want to talk to him about the things he's talking about, particularly when it comes to race and sports and the whole intersection of that, based on you that you're a product and all that other stuff. Like, I'm down.
It's amazing too, because we're watching people starting to get on. It's just really authentic like that. Like, you know, when Bo first would start, you know, talking, you know, openly about race and sports and, you know, and he does it from a place of humor a lot of times.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know people were like, oh, this nigga will never make it because he's out here just openly. I'm like, nah, that's what people want to hear, whether they admit it or not. Like, they want to hear somebody talk about that shit from a real perspective where they feel authentic. Like, not everybody want to hear you blow smoke up their ass or change the topics.
Right.
Honestly, the only thing that's real when it comes to a lot of this stuff is stuff like that. Like, a football game, not really real. Like, it's not a real, it's a concept that we came up with to entertain ourselves.
Correct.
But what is real is taking that knee. Like, Kaepernick taking a knee is some real shit. Michael Sam being gay, coming out and being like, I'm openly gay, that's actually a real life issue for people.
Right.
And it just becomes involved in this soap opera that we created called sports. But it's, that's the shit. Real talk is always better than the fake shit.
Right. And you know, these are people with lives. These are people with, you know, they don't turn on Saturday, on Sunday morning just for your entertainment. Mm-hmm. They got things, they got to live their life. Yep. You know, that's what people, you know, were saying about Living Colors. Like, I, you know, for a long time, I lived in Brooklyn. I lived in my mother's house, you know, like, you know, a story I tell all the time is and back in the day, we opened for the Rolling Stones.
Mm-hmm.
Not the name drop. But
no, please, name drop.
All you want to, baby.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the middle of the tour, we had a break, and I came home, and my mother handed me a bucket and some and a brush and said, paint the stoop. You know,
that's so good.
You know? And my friends was driving by. I was like, look at the rock star. Yeah, look at the rock star painting stoop. You told my mother not to tell me I can't paint the stoop.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what happened.
Right.
She was like, I don't care about what you did and your little ass friends. What I got planned for you to do is to do this.
Karen, that's almost exactly what she said. My mother had no idea who the Rolling Stones were. Didn't fuck about them. It's like, you and your little friend Mick Jagger, whatever his name is, go paint the stoop.
That's a black woman for you.
Yeah, they
you
said
talking about Black Mama Monthly.
Yeah, Black Mama Monthly. Like, you know, put your little Grammy down and pick up this brush.
Black Mama Monthly. What she don't care about is your little ass friends.
Yeah, that. But you know what? I think Will Smith had a similar story to his shit where he was like giving his speech about either, I think it was women in a Grammy or some shit, and he's like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I came home to Philly, and my mom was like, so here are your chores, and get your ass back to work. Like it is what it is. Like,
right.
It's all perspective.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's like, and going back to the whole sports thing, it's like, these dudes may have lots of money, and they may have all the stuff, but, you know, where they came from and how they got there is just as important. Right. You know what I mean?
And sports the only, like, it's crazy how the people's minds have been programmed so hard. Sports is the only thing where we expect a rich man to shut the fuck up.
Right.
Like I'm independently wealthy now, guys. If I make $1 million, yes, you have to hear what I think about shit. Cause what you gonna do? Like, you know, even with Kaepernick, like, part of the reason they can't shut him up is that dude did make all that money when he was playing. So even if he never makes another dime in the NFL, that dude still got that revenue that he made already. Like, he can take that knee and not worry. Like, yes, I can't play your sport anymore. Sure, I should be able to play your sport. But guess what else? I'm not shutting the fuck up. So now what?
Right. And I cast a check.
Right. Check cash. You know what I mean? Like, they can't take the money back. You know what I'm saying? Like, exactly. Of course he out here.
And, you know, he has the Know Your Rights campaign and all that stuff. My kids went to go check him out. And he was like giving away, like, he let these kids know these are your rights as a human being in this world. When the cops come up to you, when authority figures come up to you, when you see these things going on in the world, these are the things that you have the right to take care of, and you have the right to these things.
Right.
And like inspiring children, like my children.
Right.
It was deep, you know. And they walked away with all the stuff, all of his endorsement people came through, and he got they got some Beats headphones and backpacks and Nike backpacks and all this other stuff. like that's using your power and using your money to give back and do something for your people. Mm-hmm. That's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. And for him to take a knee just so he could do that, more power to him.
Right. Like that's just so dope to me, man. And like I said, they rich. Like when the owners come out and say something stupid, everybody goes, well, they rich. What do you expect them to say? It's like, yeah, well, that applies relative to you. These other niggas is rich, but y'all be like, LeBron, shut up, stop talking about this shit. And it's like, LeBron rich, dog. He can talk about whatever he wants to for the rest of his life. Nobody can ever stop him just because
we got a fucking loudmouth in the White House.
Exactly. Just for being rich and outspoken, this motherfucker is
running our country to
right it's running the country like just for that so how the fuck can anybody say just shut the fuck up to anybody at this point? So that's wild to me, man. But let me, we all off topic, man. We just talking right now, but let me get
it's
back.
Like, I like talking about family. You have no idea. I'm trying to tell you.
So also this new album, man, Shade is blue. It's blues influence. Like it's
hold up. Wait. You ain't do the whole thing. This is the Black Guy Who Tips.
Oh yeah. Oh, you know what? I was gonna do it after we finished the interview, but we can do it right now. Matter of fact, we need to introduce the show, guys. This is, of course, the Blackout Tips podcast. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher, and Podomatic. Just search the Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. And we'll read them on the air when we do our feedback show on Saturdays, as long as they're nice.
Be nice.
Okay. We don't need your little snide comments, guys. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions, the maker of fine audio plays. Of course, Karen and I have a couple of audio play albums out.
Yes.
You can listen to us make silly voices and read scripts and be characters. The audio play albums are called The Best of Rod and Karen. That's an easy one to find. And the other one is Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. And both of them are on, like Spotify, and Tidal. And it's also on, Amazon's, their music, and on Apple iTunes music. So make sure you guys do that. Leave us 5-star reviews on those places, so people go check it out. We appreciate everybody that takes time out to do that. Now back, yes, Karen.
And there's a question.
Oh, we got a question in chat. All right. So I also said y'all can ask questions in the chat if y'all have questions for Corey as well, because this is y'all's chance to talk to him too. Why can't this question come up? Let me ask one of my questions. This album is blues. Like, what made y'all decide to do a blues album?
We had done this show at the Apollo. It was like the 100th anniversary of Robert Johnson. And at the time, we weren't playing together. We were just sort of all doing our own thing. And we all came together and we put a version of Preaching Blues, which is on the record, together. And Vernon came up with the brilliant ideas. Like, we never really approached what we do through the lens of the blues. It's like, so let's take some of the stuff that we do know how to do and try to focus it as a blues sort of thing. Because, before there was hip hop, before there was rock and roll, before any of it, there was the blues. And the blues was more informative in some cases than the news was for us folks. You know what I mean? Mm. And it told you more about what was going on around you and inside of these people than anything else could. Because nobody was checking for you internally, and no one was checking for the kind of things that you were going through, dealing with who you were in this world. And the blues was a thing that sort of gave these people a chance to express themselves. And it was an amazing form of expression. So we said, okay, let's sit down and try to figure out how to get these kind of things in there. And we went away from the whole, my woman done left me kind of blues kind of idea, and said, what about the feelings, some of the emotional parts of what we do?
Mm.
So, when you listen to a song like Preaching Blues is about depression. Is a really, they say the blues is about being sad, but no, this is about internal, depression. Like, the world has done beat me down so much, I don't know what to do with myself. Like, I'm outside of myself. Things are so bad, you know. Yeah. So it was that kind of idea. And then we took other songs and other ideas and other topics that could be considered social or whatever. You know, we did talk about Who Shot You,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the idea. This is the idea of the blues in hip hop was like that's just a next step. That's the logical extension of what the blues was hip hop.
Yeah, and also like it's still hard.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like it's not right. Like it's like, you know, like I said, it's not, there's a, it's not an imitation. Mm-hmm. It's like bringing it into what y'all are already doing. We were listening to, you know, obviously you heard on the show, but even before that, I was listening to it just in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this shit is so hard. I was listening to this shit in the shower. I was like, this shit is so, like, I was dancing in the shower and shit. Like, this shit is so hard. You know what I'm saying? Right. And then, like, you know, especially the version that has, like, the rappers on it.
Right. It has all this, yeah, it has Black Thought in them on there.
Black
yeah.
Thought, Chuck D, Pharoah Monch. Like, it's just, like, it's just like blah, blah, bam, bam, bam. Like, it was, I was saying it yesterday, like, it was crazy. I was listening to Black Thot and I was like, yo, this would be crazy if Chuck D came in, right? Chuck D was on that shit.
I said what I said. Yeah.
Yeah, this shit is crazy. Like, it was, but like, I think right now, especially, in 2017, it's kind of like a time and a theme for a lot of black people kind of have that blues, like, you know, that and it is that kind of harder, you know, like it's a bit of anger to it, but it's also a bit of like, nobody's listening to us,
right?
Nobody cares about us, but we still out here, you know, struggling and surviving and fighting. And that's like, it just spoke to me, because it's like, it's anger there too, and it's not just as simple as it's not as simple as just like since my baby left me, you know, like,
right, exactly.
You know what I mean? I love it. I love right. the sound.
And what yeah. I realized too is that nobody can emote feelings and emotion and pain like black people. Like other people have their variations of it, but because of what the history of America and what America has done to black people, the pain that black people feel comes from generations. So a lot of times you might hear this one person, but that one person is representing hundreds of years of oppression,
right?
And when people sing from the heart, and they sing from hurt, and they sing from pain, especially if they know their history,
right,
you can feel it. It's like when certain people, particularly black people, and something I really and I know it's sad, but one good thing about recessions and depressions, you get some of the best music in the world off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get like anything in the arts, be it painting, be it writing, be it music, be it ballet, I don't care what it is, niggas is into it, and they gonna express right. their pain in various mm-hmm. different ways. And exactly. when we look back on this period of time, 15 to 20 years from now, people gonna be like, well, goddamn, niggas was doing some shit back then, right. you know, and it's gonna be like,
I mean, we look at music from the 60s and 70s like that now,
right?
Like, like, goddamn, right. this nigga was ahead of his time, but it's because all these themes are universal, and it'll always be relevant how people feel, you know, now. But yeah, artists are making some like deeper than just the shallow shit, and I think also the deeper artists are kind of being lauded a little bit more than they used to be, you know, like back during, you know, probably 5 to 8 years ago is a little more like, yeah, but we still on this mumble rap shit. Nothing wrong with mumble rap. I love that shit.
Right, no me too. It's flames now.
Right,
but
that's not a diss. Right. But now you see people being like, let's see what Kendrick talking about. Let's elevate that a little bit more. And you're like, I feel like that's because people, they want to hear somebody talking about this shit. Jay-Z just put his first album out where he talking about some shit. No offense to Jay. I love Jay. Right. Jay my favorite. But this is his first album where I'm like, my hands over my mouth, like, is he supposed to be telling us all his business? Because
right,
you know, I like but it's something in the zeitgeist, it's right. something out there that make, especially black art, like, people want to talk about things. And like I said, the album, you can just like, because we got, you know, no offense out there, guys, we got a little bit early copy. Some of y'all didn't
hey, I ain't I don't have a copy of this record. Let me just
tell you. Oh, for real? Oh. Well, you know, hey, look, you know, when you're famous, you know, sometimes you get these little boosts sometimes. You know, I'm not, you know, y'all regular people, you know, y'all get it on the 8th. Y'all get it on
y'all
the 8th.
Y'all know miss.
But, you know, I was listening to it and I was like, this shit speaks.
I gotta go to Best Buy and pre-order it.
Yes. You know, maybe you get the vinyl. You know, maybe you get the vinyl. See if Vernon can hook you up, okay? shout out to Vernon Reed.
Yeah.
But, the other thing I was gonna mention too, well, Who Shot You, is something that, Kendrick tried to do with Black of the Berry, where
right.
It's really talking about the value of black life. Like, right. It's not just of these cops is killing us, but it's like everybody doesn't value our lives. We don't value our own lives. What is the worth of a black life, and why do we view it as worthless and easy to take? And why does violence end up so often occurring in our lives? That shit speaks to me.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, the whole idea that, I'm sorry, Karen.
Go ahead.
But I was just saying, you know, why is the logical conclusion to any kind of disagreement with somebody to get a gun?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, if you throw a fair one with somebody, it's like, all right, it's done, right?
Right.
And somebody goes, all right, I'll be right back. And they go to the car and they go get their shit, right? Mm-hmm. What's that for?
Mm-hmm.
You're done.
Right. Like, what is that? You know, like, what? Like, one, it's something about the worth society places on the life, right? Because some people's lives are just considered easier to take. Like, I was thinking that the other day, like, and this is not inciting anyone to violence, but, like, y'all ever wonder, like, why is R. Kelly still alive? Like, why is, you know, nothing. Why is some people that say a lot of racist stuff that might be occupying some spaces that we all recognize are influential in American policy and will lead to people dying? Like, how are they still, I'm not gonna say no names, why are they still alive?
Right.
You know, like, we watch better men be killed. We watch better people, but when you look at what those people that get killed often are advocating, it's the worth of somebody's life that's not considered valuable. And that's why they got to get taken out. You know what I mean? It's just so wild to think about.
Exactly. Your value is only as much as you can, as I can take from you, not as how much you can give to me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's deep when you think about how people treat each other on a regular basis. How if Colin Kaepernick ain't throwing touchdowns, you ain't nothing to me.
Yep.
But I got a life.
Mm-hmm.
But yep. I got things I got to say. I got things that are happening to me every day that I got to deal with. I got things that are happening to my family, to my people, every day. Isn't that worth something to me? That's worth something to me.
And y'all have had political statements throughout your music. Like, I mean, y'all have been doing music for 30 years, dog. Mm-hmm. 30 years. That is so wow. Like,
know.
30 years, dog. Y'all have watched the entire world change.
Yes, you
have. Throughout the course of
several
your...
Several times.
Right.
Several
like,
times over.
Y'all have watched... And y'all still here, still standing. That's amazing, you know, like... not just for credit to the you know, the genre, obviously, and longevity, but, I mean, y'all went through, like, music pirating. Y'all have made it through to streaming now, where it's like, like, Billboard didn't even used to count streams.
Mm-mm.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Your shit gets pirated and everybody in the streets rock your shit, but you looking at them sales like, so brother, tabulating this up, you owe me $9. What the fuck?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, y'all come through all that stuff, man, and watch the world get so much smaller. What's been, like, the biggest changes over this 30 years?
I just think access to music.
Yeah.
You know, that you can, you right now, you, anything that you're looking at, anything that you're touching right now can get you the latest anything from anywhere right now. Anything that you got, anything, any kind of gadget, toy, anything. You know, my kids got like a Nintendo DS. It's got Wi-Fi. So they can go online and download new games for their toys. So they have access. Your whole thing is about access. What the flip side of that is that makes certain media just sort of exist and not really impact you in a real way. Like, you could, you right now something could be playing in the background and I don't even know that it's music.
Mm.
You know, I don't even know that it's something that that could mean something to me at some point in time.
Mm.
You know, that it could it could have a sentence or a phrase or a riff or something in it that could do something positive for my life.
Mm.
And that bothers me a lot. Mm. You know, that think about all the seminal moments in your life, you know, your 10th birthday. Right. What was the music playing when that happened? And you could name that. You could name the first time you heard, you know, you heard that Kendrick song.
Right.
And went, oh, shit. That, you could name the first time you heard, you know, Chuck D, you heard Public Enemy. I mean, right. The first time I heard Public Enemy, I was like, oh, shit, right there. That's right. It right there.
Right.
You know, music has that kind of impact in your life, but when it becomes something that you can, that's readily accessible, and something gets lost in translation at that point.
Yeah, I think the process to get music, you used to have to appreciate your shit.
Right.
Only because one, you have physical media. So one, you like, I have never, I don't know if I've ever been as angry as like when someone would take like something of mine to borrow it and not treat it good.
What?
like you yes, get it, like you go in a room or whatever and you see your CD laying scratch side down or something, you like, dude, what are you doing?
I was that dude. I was that dude that stole all your music and like said, oh, that's yours? I forgot about that.
Oh, dog, it used to, my thing was, one, I'd never let anybody, I'll make you a copy before I let you borrow it. But then like, if I did let you borrow it, don't let me walk in the room and see a coffee cup sitting on my shit, dog. Like, don't let it happen. It's gonna be hands. It's gonna be me and you, man, cause I trusted you, you know what I'm saying? But like, you used to have to value that media. You used to have to go to a store or, later in life, you know what I'm saying? He used to, you know, hit Columbia House up and maybe,
pennies.
You know, y'all need, go check your credit score, guys. Go check your credit score. It might be on there. I don't know. But I'm just saying, could do that too. But I used to go to a store, put on headphones in the store, listen to an album in the store and be like, is this shit jamming enough for me to spend my money, bring it home, you know, and listen to it. And it were very few artists that it would be like, if they put something out, I don't give a fuck. I don't gotta listen to it. I just need it and I'm gonna be, but like that feeling, yeah, you can't have that back with like digital media. Cause now it's more like, you know, there's a certain level of value that can't be captured again. Because, you know, even with Living Color yesterday, I'm able to go back through their whole discography at a click.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it used to be a time it's like, yo, what, this song is dope. What is this? Who shot you? Okay, let me go to Manifest Records and Tapes. Let me go up there and spend about $50 to get this shit. Crate. I need to hear it all now. I need to hear everything. Okay, I can only get one album. Which album should I get, Mr. Manifest Disc and Tapes guy? Like, what do you suggest? You know, like, it used to be like a value to that knowledge and stuff, but with the internet, you can now like Google what's their best album. You can wiki. Right. You know, what was the one that won that got nominated for the Grammy? What's that? You know, you can do all that shit now where, when we were growing up, you just had to be in it. It was an investment. So I think people love things more than they love music now, but at the same time, they're probably exposed to a lot less music than we get now.
Right. And also, in my opinion, what and I know for me and Roger, because we are the older generation, we still consume music old fashioned. And the reason why I say this is because me and Roger are of the generation, when we find something, we listen to it multiple times. Like the new Kendrick, I'll listen to it multiple times. Right. The new Childish Gambino, I'll listen to it multiple times. Like, I will literally take a month, and that's literally the only thing. Mm. And I know that's a very old way of listening to music.
Yeah, it moved you. It moved you to the point where it's like, I got to hear more of this, and I got to hear the parts that I didn't hear before.
Yeah, right. I want to know all the words. You know, I want to be able to sing along with this.
Right, and I think with me, and I know it's because of the generation, I like music to engulf me. I like music to overtake me. I want to feel what the artist meant for me to hear. I want to, and I guess because I'm so intimate with music, I wanted to be to the place where I feel like the artist is singing directly to me. Even though I know they're not, I want that personal interaction, that feeling. I want to listen to music where it does bring you to tears. I'm talking about real tears, where you're sitting and going through your mind and imagining certain things, or you have compassion for certain artists, or that artist is singing to me. Like, that's how I listen to music. And I've realized, because of the internet, people don't listen to music like that no more. Music will come out, and in less than 30 minutes, this is an hour and a half CD, in less than 30 minutes, you got a recap. I'm like, there's no fucking way you listen to this and that. The album just song just came out. How do you have a review? I don't understand this. You didn't listen to the show. And see, I'm old. I started to get mad because I'm like, you're not appreciating the music. Like, this is stupid. You know, it's...
They listened to the first 30 seconds and then moved on. And they moved on to the next song, and they moved on to the next song. It's like, oh, I see what this is. I understand what this is. You don't understand what it is, because it's, you don't understand how much work somebody put into it and how much subtleties and depth there is to certain music. When all you're doing is doing a glance at it and moved on.
Right.
Yeah, everybody got out of hot take. Like, it was classic. It was trash. It was, this song is 3 stars. This one is 2 stars. And it's like, this is not a math formula, dude. Like, especially like albums. And I think especially now, like I said, the last probably 2 years, I'm seeing artists take time to put together, like a thesis in an album.
Right.
As opposed to,
they're telling you a story.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, there was a period of time where like, it was more like the, ringtone type era where it was like albums start feeling like a collection of singles or a collection of like, you know, like, we, and it was making people money. I'm not, I mean, get your money, all that shit. But
I mean, your faves were doing that.
Exactly.
I mean, everybody was like, I know that this is a singles market, and if I have 3 songs that I know are going to be singles, as opposed to I got 1 song on that record that's basically about my life, and I know nobody's going to really listen to it and not check for it, but I'm going to make a record full of songs that people can hum along to, and they're going to blast it out their car stereo.
Exactly. And like, that was, you know, and it was making money in more than one type of way, you know, from your videos to your rings, especially the ringtones for a while. Commercials, stuff like that. So it was becoming like, you know, put out 15 singles, quote unquote, and whatever hits, it's like, that's going to make you a bunch of money in other revenue streams, especially right after, you know, it was before streaming, but after pirating. So it was like, motherfuckers had to find a way to monetize that shit. Well, it's interesting watching how it's kind of changed, because now it's like, you know, whether it's like Solange, whether it's Kendrick, whether it's Beyonce, like, these are artists that are big, you know. Beyonce is a big enough artist to be like, I'm just putting out 4 singles and leaving it at that. She put together a complete thesis, 2 of them actually now, but like, this is a big ass story. Jay-Z put out a big ass story. I don't feel like it's no singles on that album. Like,
no, it's not.
There are no singles on that album.
Yeah.
There are no singles on that.
It's wild. It's just wild to watch the genre kind of go back to that, because I think it kind of got away from it.
Right. The concept album.
Yes.
Right.
I have a concept that I want to talk about.
Yeah, a rapper, like one rapper, one producer type albums. Like,
right.
Remember those? Like, Kendrick's bringing that shit back now. Like, we get more like, I work with this guy. We might have another couple of producers featured on the thing, but in general, me and this dude went in the studio, sat down for however long, came out with 8 tracks, and then, you know, bam, we got 2 other tracks from somebody else, and now we put out this concept, you know.
Right.
You're seeing it come back, I think.
And I appreciate that. And before I was talking about music, I never really, I understood, but I think with Kendrick's album, I don't know the name of it, but the one where he's talking about how, I beat your ass if you do this, I beat your ass if you do that.
Oh, yeah, Fear.
Right, Fear. Okay, I had heard it, but one day I was at work, and I really started to listen to it, and it about put me in tears at my desk, because I was that child that constantly heard that. I beat your ass if you don't do your homework. I beat your ass if you come in late. I beat your ass if you don't do what I say. I beat your ass if you're doing this.
Can't go to the whole verse. Go ahead.
Right. I mean,
beat your ass if you didn't pass that class. I beat your ass.
Because he was rapping my life. I had a lot of I beat your ass and got my ass beat.
Right. Strumming my pain with his fingers.
He was drawn across the wall with it.
But think about it. He was talking about like the PTSD he got Right. From just being.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your mother or your parents or whoever it was so concerned about you keeping it straight that I'll kill you for it.
Right. What? Right.
Right.
And it fucked him up, too, because, like, the whole song is about, well, it started with my mom instilling this fear, but then it leads into my life, and now I'm scared of losing things. I'm scared of getting things. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm scared of, I'm going to step outside, somebody's going to kill me. I'm scared of the police. I'm scared. Like, I'm just scared. I live a fearful existence. One of the things I love about Kendrick is that it's Kendrick, Chance, and Kanye. How they all have like these heavy relationships with God, but they're all different.
They're all completely different.
Like Kendrick Kendrick is scared of God. Like, right. He's been scared for.
He's coaching.
Yeah, yes. Like he is on some like God gonna come down. That he rag. Gonna find out what y'all been up to. He gonna fuck y'all up. Yeah,
he gonna burn everybody.
Right. Don't say right. I didn't warn y'all. You know, even on a Good Kid, Mad City, like. Mm-hmm. The right. arc of that whole story is, you know, I wasn't really out here in these streets to being a criminal, but I was involved in some crazy shit, and he ends it with, I got saved.
Right.
Right? Like, right. That's the arc of his story. And then, you know, he starts fucking, To Pimp a Butterfly, and the first song is already like, yeah, so, I'm getting rich and shit, but the devil is talking to me being like, this is what you need to do with your money. And, you know, I'm out here doing some wild shit that I didn't see myself doing before. So even though I did right. get out the hood, I'm not living right. And that was his, like, you know, his arc. And then this latest album, you know, same thing. Like, he goes through the fear. He talks about, you know, being scared of God even. I'm like, he's scared. Kanye is empowered by God because he's been told that God is a person that has to love you no matter what you do.
Right.
So Kanye right. out here like, oh, I'm living wild, but okay, listen, if God love me, y'all niggas just got to deal.
Yes, sir.
Like, right. I do whatever right. the fuck I want to do. And that's the rules that I've learned. He's like David's relationship with God, where he like, I'm gonna fuck this woman.
Yes.
But God like, said, I'm powerful. Yeah, he got my back.
I can do anything right. under the sun. I'm still good.
Right. And then Chance's whole relationship is like, I want to spread the love mm-hmm. of God that I got to people.
Right.
And it's been
through his service.
Through his service. Right. I'm gonna right. live a life that shows people this is the love I felt through God, and I'm gonna spread that love to everybody else. Three same God for all three people, I'm assuming.
Right.
And they all got three completely different relationships, but the point is they put out concept albums around that.
Right.
All
right.
three, all, you know, Kendrick's has like three albums like that, but you know, Kanye, Kendrick, and Chance, all three of them put out a concept album of, I mean, it's damn near gospel.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's if amazing.
Listen to it, Ryan.
It's amazing. How did y'all come into contact with W. Kamau Bell, man? Because y'all, you've been on podcast with W. Kamau Bell. Vernon's right. done the Phil Negro podcast. Yeah, yeah. Like,
Negro's how y'all to arts and culture?
Yeah,
I love that name. I love the name.
It's so good. They need yeah. to bring. They need to bring it back, man.
They do. They do. You know, but you know, Kamau, you can't touch Kamau right now. So
yeah.
You know, he's big time now.
He is big time, bro. Mm-hmm. He is. Like, Kamau went and talked to the Klan, dog. I said, that's, woo! It's so amazing because, like, the thing everybody forgets, because I think, you know, on the internet, it's almost like when you talk about sports stars and shit. W. Kamau Bell is a big ass nigga.
He tall.
So, like, so people be like, I can't believe he talked to him. I'm like, have you seen the footage, though? Because they all looking up at him like, I'm not swinging on this one. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, he might be affable, but there ain't nobody trying to test him like that, you know? But how'd y'all even meet him, man? Like, what's the story there?
He is a fan.
Well, okay.
Which freaks us out. Which freaks me out, personally. You know, because he's like he talks about shows. He's, you know, he's from the Bay. It's like, I remember when y'all played at the I-Beam in 1990. It's like, you was there? There was six black people. We didn't see you.
What's that like too, man? Like, cause you, I can only imagine, man, you guys have been around the globe to places that I'm sure like what's the place you went where you were like, yo, they even fuck with us out here.
Right.
Well, you know, it's some places we haven't even been to yet. Like we get like emails. We used to get fan mail from the Philippines.
Wow.
We went to Japan a couple of times, and it was like, y'all really talking to me? So we had to, it's deep. Like when you go into like we went into former like Eastern Bloc like straight communist countries. They're like, oh yeah, live in color, and some of these folks have no idea. They see us as American music. They don't see us. They don't see us as black. They don't see us as this. They don't see us as that. They see it as American music. So you can find some people like, yeah, I love you, and I love and I love some some dark metal band, and I like Tupac, like they don't see a difference between those three things. It's like it's all from America.
Yeah, that's wild, man. Does it add to your perspective, like getting to travel and see other places? I know we didn't get to travel much as kids and stuff, and we're starting to go places now, mostly because of the podcast, see some places and shit. And I know it definitely adds to the way I view, like, not just life, but kind of people in general.
Correct.
Has it added to your perspective over these years watching, watching different people in different places and seeing different cultures and stuff?
What's deep is I have a particular perspective, and it's hard to be objective in those places, because you got somebody staring you down. You go, I ain't stealing nothing. I'm just walking. Mm. What do you want? And they're like, oh, you know who I am.
They're like, can I have your autograph?
right.
I've had those experiences. Like I'm walking through a store and like some dudes keep staring at me like, yo, you like 5'0"? What's the deal? What's going on? It's like, Corey? Yeah.
You're like, am I about to get robbed? What is going on?
right. Is there beef? What's up?
Oh, that's dope, man. And how do y'all stay friends over 30 years, dog? Right. Like, what's the key?
How do you stay friends with these mother? How do you stay friends? Imagine having to live with your family forever.
All right.
It falls along those lines too, because we all play that, like it's like four brothers, and we all play that role. Mm. Doug is the oldest, so he plays, I'm gonna run things. Vern is the middle child. Mm. When he's not in life, he's not the middle child, he's the oldest. So there's always that kind of conflict. Me and Will are the youngest children in our family, so there's always this push and pull. And there's no parents around to take sides, so we're just going at each other. And we have moments of real sort of bonding and brotherhood and solidarity, and we're always doing that. But when we're fighting,
mm-hmm.
it's like I never left my mother's house. Like I'm still fighting with like but these are kind of cats that you could go, you know what? Yeah, fuck you. Really.
Right.
Fuck you. No, really. Seriously. Fuck you. Uh-uh. No, fuck you.
Yeah, you kind of need that. You know what I'm saying? In order to really stay family and friends, you need to be at that moment. And how do you get space from each other? Between projects or between tours? Like, do y'all?
We all go out and do other shit.
Okay.
We like play with other bands. We start our own bands. We put out our own records. And we play on other people's records, but when we get together and when we start playing, it's like, oh yeah, that's right, that's why we do this.
Yeah. And y'all and then it's weird because like y'all haven't done a record since 2009, right? As far as right, so now you know, putting out this album now is back to touring, is back to, you mm-hmm. know, performing live and all that stuff too.
Right. Well, we never stopped touring. You okay. know, we take a long time to make records. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, is that we go into the studio and then we get real, real particular about our shit. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, I didn't like that snare sound. Oh, you know, I need to use a 6-string bass instead of the 5-string bass for this one. And mm-hmm. you know, I don't like the lyrics is kind of off here. Let me go change some shit. And, you know, the process of making this record was so different than we'd ever done before. Like, we'd go in the studio, we'd record live all together, and then Andre Betts, the producer, would come along and then edit it. Like, he did the whole hip-hop thing. It's like, okay, I got the raw material. I'm gonna change it around, I'm gonna edit it, and I'm gonna make it sound like something else. Mm. And so we come back and go, where's the song? Let's, you know, yeah. This is a whole new animal, now, you know, that we have to now deal with.
Right.
Now we gotta change our mindset to a certain degree, and make what we do fit into that framework.
Right.
Mm. And then sometimes he'd go back and go, all right, I'm gonna change it up a little bit again and see what happens. So
wow.
we'd have these things, and this is like one of the first times in a long time where we didn't have the songs written before we got in the studio. We were in the studio writing these songs. It was a process. It took a while.
Yeah, I can imagine, especially with the songs being like, you know, like they're speaking to issues. So you kind of have to field the room, and people probably got shit to add. People, you know, like,
right.
it becomes more of a conversation to make a song.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And you have to find perspective in all that. You have to find mm-hmm. how do I circumnavigate that kind of thing, you know, like with program, or, you know, we have a song on there called Freedom of Expression, and we spelled it out FOX because you can tell who we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it got changed up a little bit, so I had to I had to move things around and change lyrics here and there to make it work and make the initial idea stay true to itself. Mm-hmm. And that was always a big challenge for a while. And then making the record and going, okay, is it done? No, it's not done. And then finishing the record again and going, is it done? Nah, it's not done yet. Let's keep going. So it took us like 3 to 4 years to make the record, actually.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah, so it was, and in between we'd go out on the road and we go play for a little while, and then we'd think about the songs that we had and try to then come back to the studio and then go and fix things again, and then go back out on the road or go out and do our own thing and then come back to it. But you know, big up to Dre Betts. He did his thing on this record, for real.
And when y'all are going out on the road while y'all are working on the songs, are y'all performing the songs as well in the state that they were in, or y'all just like
we try to do it at sound check and see if it's up to snuff yet. And it's like, no, it's still not there yet. It's not even ready for us to play it live, let alone record it. So
we try to
get it out there and see how it works. And that, and with that information that we got from playing it in a space that wasn't a studio, we could come back and fix things.
Mm. Well, you know what's wild is that the album feels so current.
It does.
You know what I mean? Like, it took y'all, like, y'all worked on it for 8 years. Y'all, you know, like, right. You said, it took 4 years just to make, like, to get certain songs right. But the themes right. are, I mean, in a way, they're almost pressing it. You know what I mean? Like, because it's like,
yeah, well,
that's happening now. You know what I'm saying?
Because that shit don't ever change.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's always going to be, there's always some shit going on in this world that's constantly going on. You know, when you listen to something like Two Sides, like the whole, you know, forever, you watch the news, you look at television, everybody got an opinion, everybody got a hot take, everybody right. got something to say.
Right.
There's only two sides, there's a truth and a lie. That's all there is.
Right.
There's only two sides. You can't. It's not left or right. It's not none of that shit. If somebody's saying something about how they feel, then it's the truth. If it's your opinion on how they feel, it's a lie.
Right.
Straight up.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Like I said, man, I can't wait for everybody else to hear this album, because I know people gonna be writing in for weeks, like, oh, I heard the album, dog, you know what I'm saying? Like, let me tell you what I think, because it's that kind of album. Right, I feel like it's gonna make people think and make people want to give their opinion. And that's dope, man. Also, like I said, I was talking about it yesterday, but it's almost embarrassing and a shame to look back and be like, damn, I didn't know how black these niggas were and how black their work was. Like, it's almost a shame, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know other people probably have experienced it as well. I know y'all probably get it a lot over y'all's lifetimes at this point, of people being like, I didn't know y'all niggas was like this.
Right.
Infinite nigga dap, you know what I'm saying?
For a long time, it's like, so where you guys from? Brooklyn. No, seriously. Where you from? I'm from Brooklyn, nigga. Where you think I'm from?
Right, yeah. Like, I shot you. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna just do my research. I hear who shot you, like, within the first football. I'm like, that's Biggie. Hold up. What's happening right now? Your mama coming a fan? Like, it was like that shit. I was like, oh, okay. But then you go back and like, oh, they've been on this. Like, so it's kind of interesting, because like I said, I think one of the tricks of kind of white supremacy and anti-blackness is you end up quote unquote separating out yourself to be like, well, it must be this experience, it must be that experience, this must be what you get defensive before you even have a reason to be defensive, this must be what they think about me, this must be what you think about me. And I'm like, damn, it's fucked up, because a lot of us are on the same page, but if we don't communicate, we don't give each other a chance, and we're not listening to each other, then how are we supposed to get on the same page? You know, how are we supposed to learn that shit?
Exactly. You know, for a long time it was like, when I first started out in this band, you know, I was in a series of like these vocal groups, these R&B vocal groups, and you know, singing in choirs, and I was doing my thing. Mm-hmm. I remember one time I was going somewhere, and I saw some dude that I used to sing with, and he said to me, "So when you gonna stop doing this foolishness and sing some real music?"
Oh,
what?
Oh, hell no!
Wow, baby.
Okay, put that in perspective. Jump cut like 6 months later, and we're playing at the Apollo, and he's sitting in the audience. Right. You know, it's like this that fake shit you said I was doing.
Right.
There it is. That fake shit you said I was doing is taking me to around the world, and it's no less relevant and no less prescient, like you were saying, Rod, and no less real than anything that you're doing, anything anybody else is doing, because I come from them same streets. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, I'm, you know, I lived near where Biggie grew up for a while. Mm-hmm. I had Biggie screwface me as I'm walking past his house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't want no beef with you. You too big for me. I'm not fucking with you.
Yeah. I always think people forget, like, if you black and you're in the public eye, you've experienced some real shit. So it's like, you know, it just, like, the experience is kind of universal whether we want it to be or not. It's the same way people will tell people, like, oh, you're a rich athlete, why the fuck you talking about racism? It's like, because I'm still black. You know what I mean? Like,
and before I got all this money, I was still somebody's nigga.
Right.
For real. You know, right. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, I can't opt out of this shit. And I think that's a huge part of it. And it's one of the reasons, you know, like I said, I try to give people a chance, because you just never know. But yeah, sometimes I'm 38 and I still look back on certain shit and I'm like, fuck, what was I even thinking? Like, why would I ever think that? You know what I mean? Why would I make that assumption? But yeah, y'all got a fan in us now, because I know I'll be fucking, I'm gonna be listening, dude, period.
I appreciate that, because you got a fan in me, for real, for real.
That's the crazy part.
Right, like that's
like me being a fan of somebody who's been doing something for 30 years, it's not cool. Really that big a deal, because it's like, obviously you're a professional, you make a living at this.
Right.
You're good enough to fucking be the man for 30 years. Y'all are good enough to tour the world and come do shit for 30 years. We've been doing this 7, so, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it ain't on the same thing. We ain't world renowned yet.
Not yet, you know what I'm saying?
Don't get it twisted. You are well renowned. I listen to the feedback shows. I know who's calling you from where. Stop playing. Man. For real. Cats calling you. You got cats writing you from Australia and from Japan and blah blah blah. Come on, dude. You got peoples.
You know what? We need to step into that, Karen. We gotta embrace that.
We gotta step into that.
We internationally known on the microphone. Now also, like, what have y'all ever had to deal with shit like as the black band in rock? Oh, yeah. Like, you know,
always.
So what kind of shit y'all have to deal with? Like, is it from other bands? Is it from fans? Is it from venues and shit? Like, what's it like?
It depends on where you are. You know, some bands, some folks like to think that, you know, you are the affirmative action hire.
Oh,
wow. Yeah.
That shit.
Yeah.
You know, that you would have got, you know, they had to clean up their image, so they picked some band out of nowhere to do what they to fill their quota. It's like, nah, because we slogged it out too. We got into those gospel choir vans and rode around the country for a couple of years, just slogging it out and playing in places that we know we shouldn't have been in. You know what I mean? Like, dude, let's play for 15 minutes and go.
Right. They're like, when is this over? No. You break the shit down and let's get the fuck up out of Timbuktu nowhere.
You walk in the bar and they do that thing with a needle skip, you know what I'm saying?
Come on. Yeah, you look at them and all you hear is them going, boy, what you doing up in here, boy?
Me, one time, we was playing in some club, and me and Will were at the bar watching the NBA finals or something, and this is when Detroit was killing it back then. And we was playing in somewhere in New England, and Will's got a mouth on him. It's like, fuck New England, I can't stand them racist ass motherfuckers, blah 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 blah. And we're in the bar and I'm like, yo, Will, shut up or we gonna have to fight our way out this motherfucker.
That's so, yeah, rest in peace, Joe's Crab Shack, but I remember, one time, we watched, cause basketball can be divisive, dog. We watched the NBA, we watched the NBA finals, and it was Jordan's flu game against the Jazz.
Yeah.
And, you know, you remember how Jordan and them, they was down the first, like, three quarters. And it was looking like they was gonna take that L, and Mike was, you know, Scotty was carrying this nigga. I still think he was hungover, but whatever. Scotty was carrying this nigga to the bench. And because the racial divide in there was so real, dog, it was
hard.
It was our table was a black table. It was a black family, and it was one other black table, like in the restaurant. Right. Every other table was white, and every other table was rooting for the Jazz. Like,
only
the three black tables was pulling for the Bulls, and we was all doing it like y'all know that joke which Dave Chappelle talks about. The terrorist on the plane, and he looks at the other black dude, and they make the eyes. We was all looking at each other with the eyes.
Everybody
like,
was nodding, giving,
like the silent fist pump when Jordan hit a shot.
Yeah.
You know, like it was like that, nigga. By the end, though, because of how furious the comeback was, and Jordan hitting the shot and shit, hitting that three, I remember all the black people being like, "Yeah, come on!" Like we was going.
Yes.
Everybody had their hand up in the air with the fist in the air.
Yes.
Yes.
Bruh. It got so, it was like, check please. Like them white folks, they was tolerating us when they thought they was going to win. As soon as they took that L, that's how I can imagine, you know, if you go into a hostile environment, you know, it would be, but y'all also have, you know, the talent and the skills. So I'm sure once y'all start playing though, there's also people that are like, now hold up though.
Yeah.
These boys can play. Yeah. Let them play. You know what I mean?
And we some of us wasn't afraid to throw them hands for real.
Right.
You know? So,
right.
Start the car, but We're gonna fight our way out. Yeah.
we're gonna have a getaway driver. Have y'all had somebody that at first did not respect your genre and what you do, being you black, and now they're like, hey dawg, I didn't realize you was this good. Like, it took your talent to actually get them to the point that they believed that you could do it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's like, you know, when you hear black rock band and, you know, people go, oh, these, you just trying to be a white boy.
Mm.
You know, it's like, just like y'all, you're like, yeah. Y'all, mm-hmm. You know, you're trying to emulate whiteness. No. Right. No. You know, Did you say that to Little Richard?
Right.
No. Would you say that to Jimi Hendrix? No. Right. Would you say that to P-Funk in Parliament Funkadelic? Mm-hmm. Nah, that's the blackest shit ever.
Right. Chuck Berry. You know what I mean?
Right. All of it. You know, even some of those folks that where, you know, they took it and brought it back to us.
Right. Mm.
You know, and took an idea that had been co-opted. Like, that's the ultimate sort of, like,
mm-hmm.
co-op. You said, okay, now this is mine.
Right.
Like, nah. Mm-mm. No, because I got something to say, and I'm not going to be relegated to two stations on a radio dial.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like rock, the jazz and the blues, rock, jazz and the blues is all genres. I grew up before, you know, you don't necessarily have a frame of history unless somebody teaches
right.
it to you.
Right.
I grew up being like, oh, that's white people shit.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah. And for a long time, I had to fight against that with my friends, with people I've known all my life. Like, why are you playing that white boy music? I'm not playing white boy music. Get it. Right. Don't get it twisted.
Right.
This is mine, and it's been mine since the beginning.
Right. And it's yours, too. Like,
right.
And it's yours, too, nigga. If you'll do some research, right. It's all ours. This our shit. Right. They tried to take it. Like,
right.
Come out to a show. Let's take our shit back. Let's have some fun.
Right.
Right.
That shit was so dope, man. Like, it's like I watched Moonlight. I mean, not Moonlight. La La Land. And,
I can't. I'm sorry.
Karen couldn't watch it either. I had to watch it for weeks. Well, we do. I'm also a movie critic. Karen,
I know what you do.
Yeah,
you
Karen is technically a movie critic too, right?
But I just I pick and choose the movies I want to watch, and most of them are predominantly black.
Yeah, I support Karen's way of viewing it because that's what white people do to our shit.
Right? I'm like, fuck right. that. I'm not watching that. That is whiteness on top of whiteness with some mayo. I'm good. I don't give a fuck about y'all problems.
So it was one of those things where I was like, let me go watch it because I was preparing myself preemptively for if they win and I'm gonna be mad, so I can be like, nah, that movie wasn't even that good, or
right.
you know, oh, the movie was great, I see what y'all saying, blah blah blah. And I watched it and I was like, it just felt so white. Like, it just felt, it's a movie about jazz that feels super white. I don't know how you make that movie.
How are you going to have a movie about jazz and ain't no black folks in it?
Yeah.
How?
Like, John Legend was in there for about 10 minutes, and literally, you know, any other black person in the movie doesn't even have speaking lines, or they're just in the background, and it's this white dude being like, I have to save these kids, you know, when it comes to jazz
right.
or whatever. And it just,
right.
it never resonates as authentic to me. So that's kind of like, also I think that's the biggest trick in the world, is like, a lot of us have kind of bought into like, this is what it is. Like, sometimes I go on Tidal and I look up these they have legends, like the series uh-huh. playlist, and I just look back and be like, oh, I've never heard of this dude. His music's from like 1945, and like,
yeah,
I'm gonna go listen to this dude. I'm gonna listen to this black man play a banjo and see what it's about. Oh shit.
It'd be flames on
right
it.
I'd be like, we made that too. Like, you just be listening, like, we can do everything,
right.
So yeah, it's, you know, interesting.
Every form of artistic expression that exists in this world
mm-hmm.
started with black folks. Don't get from marginalized people,
right?
From salsa to hip hop to whatever you can think of, even for some classical music,
mm-hmm.
has had influencers that look like us.
Right. Yeah.
Always.
you can never count yourself out, man, because, you know, like a title looking at my list right now, Duke Reed, they got legends Duke Reed. He was a Jamaican record producer, DJ, label right. owner in the 1950s. So, like, mm-hmm. I'll just do that to edify myself so I can be like, oh, okay, now I know who that dude is. I know right. what his music sounds like. And it's that kind of stuff that I just never did before. It's, mm-mm. you know, as much as we kind of, quote unquote, knock it, but it's one of the good things about having the music at your fingertips is yeah. something like that. You can be like, yo, let me explore this real quick. Okay, cool, got it.
Right. Fortunately, there are people who are curating certain things and saying, that you need to know, you need to be up on this to understand the world that you're living in.
Right.
You know, there are people there are whole swaths of people who don't know that this belongs to you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This belongs to you as much as anything else belongs to you.
Yep.
Right. And you know what? Just like a lot of things, it's sad, but I think white supremacy strategically strips that away because in a lot of these genre of music, if brown people knew that this was their music, we would literally come in and the country rap albums would be all niggas like they don't want us coming in there remaking, revamping, you know, here comes the Dixie Chicks with a black girl and Kanye rapping on the album. Like, they don't want them problems, you know.
Didn't even want Beyonce to perform her country song at the motherfucking, because it was jamming. You know what I'm saying? It's right. like, we can't have them on TV bopping to this because right. this shit is too fire.
So I really think they don't want that. They don't want, you know, the next opera singer, you know, to come out. Next thing you know, you got niggas up there beside the rich white folks up there going, girl, you better sing all in the opera. And the white folks looking like, oh my God. I just came to, because this is my favorite album and these niggas is cheering like we at motherfucking church.
Now I totally,
they don't want them problems.
I totally want that now. That's what I want. I want niggas at the opera.
How them white folks scared as hell. And you know niggas will show up in there. They go to the orchestra. You hear the strings. Baby, you better play them strings.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You do know that's a violin, baby. You
that's
know
what
that's
I want.
A violin. No, I don't care. They strings.
I need to see somebody sneaking Popeyes into the orchestra now.
Yeah!
I need that in my life. I didn't know how much I needed it in my life till you just brought it up.
They'll come out. We'll be having a fish fry and cookout out front, selling plates while they'll be going in there. The food gonna be flames now.
White people gonna be in the opera like, does anybody smell fried chicken? How did that woman get a whole 3-piece up in here? Like, oh, you didn't think I was watching this opera on empty stomach?
Come on now.
Is that hot sauce in your bag?
Right, yeah.
Matt has some Louisiana? Yes.
Yeah, I heard Beyonce supposed to be doing, she in talks to do the song for the next James Bond. I'm like, next James Bond opening song gonna be black as fuck. Like,
they don't want them problems. I think that's why they stripped it from us, because they know, because you know what I realized, anything that's been predominantly white and you let any brown people in there, all of a sudden we start, like baseball, all of a sudden right. you got Latino people and black people, particularly Latino people, right. all of a sudden this racism will come out of nowhere because they dominating your sport.
Right.
Same thing with basketball, same thing with football.
Music,
people wonder why all of a sudden white folks change and say, how it ain't they sport no more and flee away, because they don't want like brown people.
Just listen to the way white critics talk about black movies now after Moonlight won. Like, it's a right. change in tone. Like, before the black movies was winning, when it was just, like, coming up in second place, it was like, oh, it's a great movie, but, you know, Ava DuVernay put out a good movie. But, I don't know if it deserved a nomination, but, you know, it didn't win, so it's fine. But then when it's, like, 12 Years a Slave won, then Moonlight right. won, and Moonlight literally yanked the award out of La La Land's hands, like, now I'm seeing these, like, it's just a black movie. I don't, what's so great about this movie? I mean, isn't it the same in the hood? I'm like, oh no. Y'all was cool with it till it won. Like, it was a great movie until it took the thing that y'all thought white people should have got.
Right.
And that spreads everywhere, like you said, in all the genres and stuff.
Oh yeah, and I can't wait for what I said to come true. I'm trying to, I cannot wait. I would buy front row tickets to,
I want to write an aria just for you, Karen.
Right. Yeah. We'll be there. We will show up.
Yes, I can't wait till we get Tyrone and them Selling Things musical. My black ass will be there.
Oh, all right. I got.
Call it three piece.
Yes! Yes, and they come out singing. I love three pieces. I love three pieces. At my local Popeyes. Yes, I'm here for it.
Yeah. Oh my God. All right. We got a question from the audience.
Do you know how to get to it?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Coffee Light and Sweet says, please help me understand the hard rock genre as I'm not familiar with it, but would like to learn. Looking beyond the volume and vocal intensity, what do I listen for? What can I compare hard rock music to make the connection? I would really like to learn more about this genre. Thank you.
All right. Wow. You have to find your emotional center to anything, any music, you know, that you have to find where you are in any kind of music. So if it's loud and it's angry, if you're loud and angry, then it works. I happen to be loud and angry. If it touches you emotionally, it touches you, it says something about your life that you understand. Even if it talks about bullshit, like all I want to do is party. If you're at that place, that's what you find, you know. And you know, the history of music and the history of particularly people of color in music, it you know, we seem to be relegated to one emotional state sometimes, right. And you have it's like, are you always sad? No. Are you always angry? No, I'm not always angry. Mm-hmm. And the music should reflect that. And with hard rock music particularly, you know, they're bands that sort of traffic in, you know, the frustrations of being, of not being heard. There's the frustrations of, and who better to know about not being heard than us?
Come on.
Right.
You know what I mean? Who knows better about feeling frustrated about the world that you live in than us? And there's music that reflects that. There's music everywhere that reflects that. Sometimes it doesn't have to be. If you listen for that musical content and you listen for that musical emotional state, you'll find that any kind of music, hard rock music, you know, R&B music, soul music, you know, reggae, dance, hip hop, you know, punk rock music, all of it, jazz, will take you in a particular state. You know, like when you clean the house and the music you listen to when you clean the house, you know, a friend of mine talks about, you know, you knew exactly what her mother was feeling when you heard Billie Holiday start playing. You know, oh, she's in one of those moods today.
Right.
Or, you know, you listen to Al Green and it's like, oh, it's time to clean the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know? The same thing is like if you listen to, you know, something like, I don't know, Anthrax. Just like, okay, it's time to wild out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you listen to Public Enemy, you listen to Kendrick, you listen to any of that stuff. You know, don't listen to what other people tell you what you should be feeling. Listen to your own feelings, and they'll I guarantee you there's a music that will reflect what you're feeling. And it's not about the hard rock genre. It's not about the hip hop genre. It's not about the R&B genre. It's about how you're feeling. You know, in order to sell it, they said, well, this is this music and this is that music and this is this music.
Right.
Fuck that. Don't even think about that. Think about how you feel and find, hell, Spotify and all of it will definitely give you a playlist that reflects that.
That's what I do. Like, a lot of times I'm like, I want to explore this thing, I'm going to look for a playlist because somebody already thought of that shit. And people always want to spread the word about their music. So it's like, if this is my shit, let me make this playlist, label it so-and-so, go out and find it. You know, like, oh, like, I wanted to, like, learn a little bit about jazz. You know, I always hear people, you know, my dad listened to jazz, you know. And so I'll just be like, oh yeah, jazz, like I'll put literally jazz, right. And then it'll come up like, oh, you want Duke Ellington, like here's a playlist of the best songs, and it's not just like the quote unquote hits, it's somebody that listened to it, that's a fan of his, that went like, this track right here, this is the one, right, the world needs to hear.
This is a deep cut that would really say something to you. Exactly. And like I said before, don't listen to those two radio stations on your dial. Mm-hmm. Go that one Spotify playlist that the algorithm said that this is the kind of stuff that you should be listening to.
Right.
You know, because you picked these three songs, so everything else is going to reflect that. Nah, say. Type in the word angry and see what comes up.
Mm. Mm. That's a good idea.
I didn't really think about that. Do you
put in frustration and see what comes up?
Yeah. Ken, go ahead, ask your question. I'm going to the next session because we had to break, but keep going. No. I'm gonna be right back on screen, everybody.
Do you think that with all these multiple platforms for downloading music and streaming music, how do you think that will affect the future of radio? Because, you know, with your music being played on the radio in addition to these other platforms, how do you think it will change and revamp radio? Because my personal opinion, I think as the older generations, talking about generations a little older than Roderick and us, die out, radio will be less and less and less and less. People are into more personalizing their music and picking and choosing what they want versus being force fed.
Well, you have to find, like I said earlier, what we have to say is to anybody that listens to music and anybody who appreciates music, that you'll find subtleties in all of it. You'll find real gradations of certain things everywhere, anywhere. You know, you listen to, so there's some African music from the continent that's from Nigeria, and it's from parts of South Africa that are, they're hard rock bands in South Africa. They're, you know, all black, all, you know, with loud guitars and all that kind of stuff, talking about their situation, talking about the feeling where they are. From where they are in the world. And if you can open up yourself to say, there's other stuff out there, I'm going to go find it, then that's, it's easily accessible, so why not go and get it?
Go ahead. The other thing I was going to ask too, like, now that, you know, people personalize their playlists and shit, you know, you have your suggestions and all that stuff. But one of the things that's hard to duplicate with radio a lot of times, you still have personalities. Correct. And that's not going anywhere. If anything, those people might be moving to the internet.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, like, regardless of what you think about them, it's always going to be somebody around talking between them songs.
Yeah, even if it's on YouTube, like, they're going to be somewhere streaming, Twitch, wherever other platforms.
Yeah, I mean, iTunes took over from the radio, but then iTunes has what, radio stations, like they hire people, they pay them, they come in and they play the song, like, oh look, I'm gonna play my favorite Drake songs today, and that, like, that's still radio in a way. It's just moved from your car necessarily, your car stereo, to now it's, you know, every time you log on to one of these streaming apps, so it's still there. Right. Even Tidal has podcasts now.
Correct.
So now you're getting your music, and you're getting the two-part interview with Jay-Z that everybody wishes they could have got, you know?
Right. Well, you can't only gonna get it on Tidal, right?
Yeah, hey, listen. I know people be mad that we stand for the Carters, but I fuck with them Carters because they be about their paper, dog.
Come
like
on.
Beyonce, right. And Jay be like, yeah, you can listen to it on my app for $9.99 a month.
Right, ain't that what everybody else do? Everybody else got exclusive deals. Why can't us?
I fuck with them, man. Me too. I get your paper, man.
Right, and that's what 440 was about. It's like getting your paper. Mm-hmm. I hate to say this, it's like he gave you the blueprint. He really did.
Right.
He said, "You want to make some money like I made money, without having to sling weight?
Right.
Here you go."
Here's what I did.
This is exactly what I did. The good, the bad, and everything else involved with that.
Right.
When I got all this money, things started happening to me.
Mm-hmm.
I got married and the money still kept coming. I still got problems.
Right. I love that this is the first album where he looks at his own, like the problems he created for himself.
Exactly.
I felt like, I love Watch the Throne. I know it's controversial, like some people hate it or whatever. I love Watch the Throne, but it's, that album was about like, I got all this shit, I'm still black. Like it's still fucked up. Like, you know, yeah, I got the all white cocaine seats in this motherfucking exclusive. They only made 5 of them Rolls Royces. I have to duck when the cops come. That's what life is right now, dog. Like, only the doctors got this shit and me, the rapper drug dealer. That's right. The only people that own this
car.
You
and your dentist and chiropractor.
Like that album is so fucking black, man. That
it is.
From Murder to Excellence, where they talk about basically, once again, they talk about black on black crime and that shit. Like, right. Kanye talked about Chicago, but Kanye from Chicago. So it wasn't like some like misdirect. Like, that's a nigga that's like, I have friends that died in these streets. What the fuck are we supposed to do about this? And then in that same track, it's like, and this is the opulence of what we've achieved. Both of these are connected. Like that, it's a mind blowing album to me. All right. Last question though. Somebody asked, my man, the Firestarter crew asked me to ask you this on, Twitter when they heard that, we were going to be interviewing you. Did y'all ever have beef with Guns N' Roses?
Yeah, we did.
What was the beef about? What happened?
It wasn't. Let me get this straight. We didn't have beef with Guns N' Roses. We had beef with Axl.
That's what he said. What's the story, man?
They had a song. They put a record out. They called One in a Million, and where Axl had this lyric about niggers and faggots get out of my way.
Oh my man. Oh nah.
right. So it's the song about him coming to LA on the bus, on the Greyhound bus, and him being there, and this is what was going on. And we took exception to that. We said, mm-hmm. You know, that's shit. That's not cool. That's not cool. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do.
Mm-hmm.
We're not gonna stand here and let you do that. We happened to be, when this is back in the day, so we was on tour with Guns and with the Rolling Stones, and they were playing in L.A. and we had said in the press, we don't appreciate that song, we don't appreciate what they're trying to say, we don't like it. And you know, Axl came up to us, our old bass player Muzzy, and said, "You got a problem with me? You got a problem with me?" It's like, Muzzy said, just chill, relax.
Right.
Let's talk about it. And he got in a huff and walked away. And we got up on stage and said, look, I don't care who you are. I don't care where you come from. I'm going to be who I am. And I'm not going to let you tell me who I am.
Mm.
And we proceeded to play.
Mm.
And so there was this beef. But we, you know, with the rest of the band, which is deep, the rest of the band, it's cool. I know Slash. I've hung out with Slash. You know, he's cool. Slash is black.
Right.
You know, the rest of the guys in the band didn't have those kind of issues to a degree. I mean, they still, you know, I'm sure they had no idea who and what we were and who black folks are in general.
Right.
Like their frame of reference was Slash. And right. Slash, you know, Slash don't care about none of that stuff.
Right. Yeah. It's that my black friend thing where you're like, well, Tony's cool with it. You're like, I don't know Tony. I'll whoop your ass.
Right. Did I tell you I was from Brooklyn?
Right.
I know you gig on people from New York City talking that shit, but yeah. For real?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Seriously? Because, you know, I had to fight my way out of certain spots.
Right.
And I ain't afraid of whooping nobody's ass.
Mm-hmm.
For real.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 53 years old. I still whip your ass. Okay.
That would have been hilarious. If Axel would have caught the hands from Living Color, that would have been infamous, dog. That would have been the most infamous story in rock and roll. Just like, yo, remember when Axl ran up and got done up, bro? What was he thinking? Take that shit out the album. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, that is crazy though, because there's a certain level of like almost dismissiveness, because they probably just view I mean, it tells you what they think. It just essentially, right. The fact that you didn't think about that lyric tells you that you didn't think anybody should take exception, that you could come to a black person and be like, I can't believe you mad, like that tells you a lot about what they thought to even put it in there. I don't know what, right. I wonder if Slash was in the room like, and I don't know about that bar. Go ahead, do your thing. Go ahead, I don't know.
It feels like they were in two different rooms when it went down. It's like they made the song and Axl came along and started singing.
Right.
And that's what, you know.
Yeah, I used to say that about the Outkast album, Stankonia. I love all the Outkast albums, but that's my theory, is Big Boy was rapping and then Dre came in after Big Boy got done and was like, I'm gonna do some singing. Let's mix this shit up, dog. And it's like Big Boy coming in the next day, like, what happened to the track? Like, oh, Dre came in, you know, he added some shit. It's cool. Like, you should check it out. It's a rock and roll riff on it now. He's singing. You know, he got Erykah Badu on it. Like, it's a little different, but I think you can still get into it. And then,
he put the shakers over your last verse. I don't know what
that means. Ignore the maracas you hear in the background.
Yeah, he did some, he modulated his voice and he put a 5-minute speech over it, but, you know, it's still jamming though. Let's do it, you know.
He'd be like, is that his voice underneath the beat? Like, is that a beat or is that him? Yeah, he took his voice and created his own beat, but it's still flames though.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, especially, I don't know, like, the song I imagine it happening to the most is, the song is like, humble as a crumb, that's the way the cookie crumbs, up my dream. That shit, cause like, my man, Big Boy's verse on that shit is so hard. It's like, you know.
Right.
It's not like he just rapped over the drums, and then Dre came in and was like, all right, my turn. I'm about to kill this shit.
It's like two different cooks and they put that shit together.
Like, Dre came in here at midnight and some it's in a football pads, no shirt underneath.
Yes, some shades.
He had on some capris and he had on some sandals and he had on some shades and he fucking killed these. He just sang the fuck out of this hook. And
then
had
he brought his guitar and his sitar.
Right.
Yes!
Right.
He came in here with a live choir. Nobody knew what was happening. Yeah. We, you know, it was horns in the background. We
it
saw
was a
piccolos
lot. It was a lot.
And flutes, but it's like when he came in, everybody was like, hey, I'm just letting you know up front before you go in here. Like this is what's happening. But like, it's almost like two chefs cooked a meal. I'm a consumer. I just came to the table to eat. I don't give a fuck how it's made. It's delicious to me.
Right. That's.
You ever see that Key and Peele sketch?
Oh, yes. Oh, man. So good. Yes. That's how I imagine it happened, dog. Like, that's another one of my favorite groups, man. They were so innovative and so genius and coming from different angles to make the track, like, the cohesiveness. It's like chaos, but beauty sometimes, as it progresses. Like, the first album is like just, it felt almost like Dre and Big Boy was just completely on the same like wavelength, even though you could kind of hear it then, like, yo, Dre think a little out there.
Yeah,
he thinks holistically and like concept wise he goes a little deeper. And then by the time you get to like Stankonia, by the time you get to The Love Below and mm-hmm. like it, you know, you're like, oh, okay, yo.
You heard it in Equimini.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. You can hear it in Equimini too. Yep.
Because when they were making Equimini, I was on LaFace Records. My solo record came out on LaFace Records. So I would hang out with the Dungeon Family and all those cats. And they were like, yeah, man, we want you to sing on some shit. Don't just. And I never got to sing on shit.
Mm.
Like, but what was deep was like, you sit down with Dre, with the Dres, and they say the same shit completely different from each other.
Right.
The same thing, right.
Right.
They'd be saying having the same conversation with the same person on two sides of the same coin. One side of the same coin. It's like, okay, Dre is coming from this way. 3000 is taking it real esoteric.
Right.
Like, I get it. All right, that's cool. Let's do it.
Yeah, it's like, I will never get that again, man. And, you know, but it was just chaos, but it was beautiful, man. And like I said, like my favorite song to imagine it happening to is Humble on the Mumble, because like Big Boys versus, you know, back on the microphone, the number one controller, I rock the microphone like a blizzard, I'm so cold, trying to, like, it's like, it's very straightforward. And then like the intro, like I imagine him dropping the verse, right? But then when you listen to the song, like the intro is Andre, and he got that like modulator on his voice. He's like, oh, I stink I can. Like, I'm like, he couldn't have done that in front of Big Boy. He had to do it separate. Like, they didn't do that at the same time.
But what's deep is like, they allow each other to be each other.
Yes.
Like, they're in the same room. They were probably in the same room. And Dre said, all right, I got this verse. I got this thing. Here, check this out. Like, oh
yeah. Right, like that's the beauty of it. They both can look at each other and be like, yo, that's dope. Yeah, that's dope. Mm-hmm. We put that in the song. Yes, yeah, we can make that work.
Right,
like anybody else would be like, nigga, you fucking up the song, come on, man.
Right.
Like,
they very much enjoy what the other one's doing.
Yeah,
right.
You could tell too because they had that interlude with the niggas that was buying the album. They was like, man, first they was some pimps, then they was some genies.
Yes!
Now they on some old black righteous space, man. Oh man, I don't fuck Outkast. Like, yes, that you can tell. All right, man, right. We've talked about a lot of stuff, man. Make sure y'all get this album though. Mm-hmm. Okay, September 8th. It's called Shade, Living Color, with the U in it. Okay, probably because y'all got tired of the 80s of people being like, y'all in Living Color. The
all right. I'm gonna let y'all in on it. Our Living Color was first.
Yeah, I know. I'm just joking. Then the 90s, were y'all getting it a lot though in the 90s? Like,
oh yeah. Straight up, we flew into some airport and these folks were coming around. This is like, and somebody was like, so who's that? That's Living Color. Oh, Living Color. Which one of y'all is Homie the Clown?
Oh,
for real.
Yeah. Hey, so what you do for a living? Oh, I'm in Living Color. Oh, for real? Hey man, do the three snaps. Like, what? Nah.
No,
I'm in Living Color. It's a band. Yeah. We play music.
Not the comedians, no.
Yeah.
No.
I can just imagine that shit. Oh man. But yeah, get it, dog. You know, it's got the U in it, okay? All right, cuz it's universal.
Yeah.
In Living Color.
Cuz I need to buy one myself, so.
I've heard it. I'm telling you, it's lames. Okay, I'm just saying. And then of course, we got to play the games. Okay.
Oh my God! Yes.
You know, we can't have them on the show and not play the games, right? As well. You know, so we're gonna get into them games. While this loads up. Matter of fact, let me see if there's any news I did want to talk about before we get to the games. I don't think nothing important happened today. Mm-hmm. Oh, nigga, yes, something did.
Oh,
That goddamn hurricane.
Yeah.
It's a hurricane fucking up the United States, y'all, in Texas. Have you seen these pictures?
No.
Yo, it's like 5 feet of water. Like, it's in people's houses. I saw a picture, like, because, you know, a lot of it happened at night, but I saw a picture in the morning when the sun came up. The whole street like a river. Like,
good God. Yeah. You know, I have seen some of the pictures on social media, and I'm going to tell you right now, and people forget this, what's even more fucked up, there's no director of FEMA. So you have this shit happening, and on top, on the low, nobody pays no attention. Trump just signed something right before this storm came, mm-hmm, to reduce the amount of coverage for flood insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gonna be a lot of people that's getting ready to be screwed. A lot of those people down there that voted for Trump gonna look at him and be like, rescue us. And he's gonna stick his middle finger up at y'all,
right?
You know, and just like here in North Carolina, they had flooding here from a storm not too long ago. A lot of those people that voted for him turned around and got mad when that shit was denied. Mm-hmm. They got less than they was gonna do. The states would ask for money. They cut that shit in half because overall, he does not give a fuck about this country, and he's showing people in a myriad of different ways. And
You can't run the government like a business, because the government's not a business, because a business never has to care about people.
Right.
Like a business can be like, fuck them, let them drown. Like, that's what business would do.
Right.
A government need to go down there and help people, and you do need a FEMA director. Like, you can't just be like, we'll cut that, you know, we'll worry about something. If an emergency is gonna happen, dog, it happens every year, you know?
Right, and
exactly.
And it's, and one of the things that, in my opinion, and this really makes me mad, it was so fucked up, a lot of poor white people failed to realize y'all on the same boats as these brown people and these Mexican and these niggas and chinks or whatever you want to call us. We on the same, we floating down the same stream.
Right.
The white people that have all this money that one day you aspire to be, which you actually never will be, tricked you into vote, tricked you into punching a hole in the boat that we all own.
Right.
So we all gonna sink, but like Roger said, you don't care as long as you drown last.
Right. Damn.
Right.
That's deep.
That is deep.
And the United States Border Patrol is actually trying to find people fleeing the hurricane that are undocumented immigrants.
I was hearing that. That's so fucked up.
People, how is that a priority right now?
Why is that a priority? Why is that a priority?
Like, couldn't they be, like, couldn't we get them to, like, maybe lay some sandbags out? Like, something that'll help? Like, could they maybe set up some facilities for people to stay in where they could be safe? Like, it seems like it's, I don't know, not the biggest priority right now. That's the way I would view it, you know?
Right, because...
But when you just pardon Joe Arpaio, who is the motherfucking number one unconstitutional bigot that was looking for undocumented immigrants and targeting communities of color, when you just pardon that dude, I think the message is loud and clear. You know what I mean?
It should be. Absolutely.
But yeah, I saw that shit and I was like, damn, man, if it ain't one thing, it's another. But yeah, I you know, of course, they're in our thoughts, man. Like,
right.
I know we got listeners in Texas. Right. I know I got all kinds of people on the internet, friends that are in Texas and shit.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them are checked in. Right. Yeah, a lot of them checked in safe and everything, but, you know, it's not over, really. And I heard it went south, which means it's collecting more moisture, which means it might hit land again. Right. So shit could get real ugly, and there's nobody in charge of helping them.
Right, and we said this before. And what a lot of people who I know, a lot of people get drained by all the shit that's happening. You don't have to stay abreast of everything, but there are some things that you do need to be abreast of. There are positions in the federal government that there's no director. So you have people that are literally coming to work every day and they don't have shit to do because they ain't got no goddamn boss.
Right.
You know, that shit matters. You know, you come to work like, hey, dawg, what are we going to do for this and that? And there's no form of direction. And so you cause chaos. And something I didn't realize this until you said the other day, motherfucking Friday nights is Donald Trump's dump night. Any fucking thing that he did, it all get dumped out on a fucking Friday night.
That it's news, like, the it's Friday like, night news dump, it's draining.
It's like a stream, and I never realized this until you said it.
Yeah, it was a transgender ban. They actually did pass it
in the military.
In the military, they passed it. It's not just
they
a tweet.
Passed it.
It's not just a tweet anymore. Apparently, people that are still in, they can't be kicked out, but nobody can join as trans. But as always, the messaging is clear, right? If you in, do you think this teaches the other soldiers to respect you? You think that it's not for the ones that are bigoted? You think they not feeling some type of emboldenment? Like, oh, okay, so we got a presence that's with the shit. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's the way that's gonna roll out. And then you had him pardoning Sheriff Arpaio or whatever, and then you had he had somebody quit too. I forget who was the person that quit or whatever.
Gorski.
They fuck like all three things just in Friday night from about 5 p.m to about 8 p.m just bam 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 bam.
And I think they,
and that's what they do every Friday,
right? It's like an overload. They purposely and strategically overload because they know.
Well, that's when everybody's going
mad
home.
At everything.
It's not even that you can't be mad. That's when the media goes home.
Media
gotta go see their kids too.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
I gotta have a life. Mama gotta have a life too. So they out for the weekend, and now it's left to Joy Reid.
Skeleton crew.
Yeah, right. It's left to Joy Reid to cover the shit on Saturday catch you up for
by
all the
myself.
Bullshit.
Right.
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 Anyway, also, Usher finally responded to the herpes lawsuit. He claims that the woman assumed the risk by having unprotected sex. Now this is interesting because if we follow the defense that he had, the first one was never seen that bitch before in my life. The second one was because it was like, nah, that wasn't me. I was with my girlfriend. And then it was like, well, we have a hotel employee that says they remember you showing up at what was like the Best Inn. Like, it wasn't a great motel, but and then it was, oh, okay, well, look, I don't have sex with big girls, so clearly couldn't be me. And now finally we're at, if I fucked her, it's her fault. So I feel like he's kind of,
you broke the law and you were supposed to tell them.
Yeah, I think if you knowingly had herpes, you still have to like inform them technically. So I don't know that what this defense is gonna do for that argument. We'll see. Because it's not like this happened a long time ago, like what, this is like this year or some shit, and he's married. So it's, I don't know, he was better off just saying it wasn't me or
right.
some other shit, because right. I know his wife ain't like this defense, you right. know what I mean? Even if it is the truth, I know his wife is like, wait a minute, you said you was with me that night and you didn't do nothing.
Right, and somebody was talking about STD. He already knew, baby, because the
yeah, there's
like,
a lawsuit and, right. and another and the, thing he had to admit it
years ago
in a what do you call it, whatever
deposition.
It is deposition, there you go, Karen. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so he's got a different defense now, and he said it's your fault, don't be fucking me raw. Well, you knew what it was, so good luck.
Then you wonder why women be like, men ain't shit, everybody get in their feelings and get all emotional, but women are the only ones to get emotional though, not dudes though, but go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know this, his lawyer needed, you do not pay a lawyer to do that, he gotta come up with a better one.
Come
than
on
that.
and the right. thing is
right.
like I hope no. he got his money back, because if that's what my lawyer come out, if we walk out the room and the lawyer's like, here's the deal, I'm gonna just tell them they shouldn't have fucked you. I'm gonna be like, nope. That's not gonna sell, bro. Come up with another one.
Nope, you ain't gonna have me. But like this, you ain't gonna have Ashy Twitter defending me, because that's all that's right. gonna happen. And that's why women get mad, because you have all these ashy ass niggas coming out there flicking ash in the air like LeBron James, going, yeah, here we come, ladies. And right. they're like, shit.
Yeah, so we'll see. See, we'll see what happens with Usher, dog. All right, now for our games, I got the music up.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
let's play some fucking it. With black people.
Yes.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right. It's time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. Game, we go around the globe, find different articles, make us feel fuck with as black people, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right, let's see who is fucking with us today. Let's see, how about, did y'all see the video of the white woman whooping that other white woman ass for being Woo! Racist?
I seen bits and pieces of it. What happened?
I'll try to put it on screen if they have it, but a white woman was minding her motherfucking business.
Minding her business.
As she is wont to do. And another white woman decided to say some racist shit to her about, I believe it was Haitians. Yeah,
what?
I think it was Haitians, yeah.
Yeah, she went specific with it. Like, I don't even know.
I mean, is the woman married to a Haitian? Is she dating a Haitian, or?
Here's the thing. I don't even know how the racism got specific to just Haitians.
Right. It's going to be something in the
I
background.
Always just thought white people was like not white and white when it came to racism. I didn't know they was on this specific, like, not just all black people. It's just them Haitians. She said she was, in a hotel lobby. Another woman came in, made a racist comment about Haitians in the hotel lobby, and she ended up getting into it.
Was talking, there oh. were a bunch
oh,
of
we don't see
there
it.
Was... Oh, y'all can't see it. Oh, mm-hmm. hold on, guys. I'm gonna get it on screen. Give me a second. Y'all know how this goes. Showing me sharing it. I don't know why it's not showing on y'all screen. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
I don't see it.
All right. Okay, I see. I just got the. It took too long. Message. Give me one okay. more time. We're gonna try this again, y'all.
Okay.
Yeah,
that don't work. Refresh.
Yeah, I'm if not, I'll refresh. But look, when I saw this video, I didn't have the context at the time. I just, it was just like, yo, white girls can throw them hands or something. And I was like, damn, why don't white violence? What about the cheese in Wisconsin?
What about the cheese?
So sad to see this. You know, the children in Green Bay are gonna be so hurt. And I didn't know what it was about, but turns out she was fighting for on the side of fighting against racism, and those are race anti-racist hands of justice, and I am always into that.
I'm here for it.
Is it showing yet?
Yes.
Okay, all right, let me see if I can play this the report.
Soccer tournament going on at the hotel, a bunch of little Haitian boys and their mothers were in the lobby. They had a church service going on over here, and I'm a white person. I'm walking out of the elevator, and I see a white lady standing at the desk talking to the white clerk, saying, you know, you guys need to do something about all these wet floors over here. You know how these Haitian people are. So to me, she was inferring that, I don't know, Haitian people are more likely to sue somebody than another race. Mm. You know what I mean? Just, what do they call those stereotypes? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, and you know, who was she to say that? Right. And what's the point of even saying that? Why do you have to be nasty? Why do you want to sit up and be nasty for? Mm-hmm. I don't get that. So, like I said, I went to her and I made sure what she said, tried to at least, and she didn't want to hear that. Told me don't worry about it because I'm not black. Mm. So
she said some racist shit about Haitian people. Old girl heard it. Then when she confronted her about it, she went, don't worry about it, you not black. And that's how the altercation started. Now I'm about to find the video though, because
right, she got mopped.
Team is on its way to Texas following the
she got mollywopped, dog.
And they don't be ready. You know what I've realized? Me and Roger talked about this. I'm telling you right now, I think it's going to black. People that are the loudest don't want none. Like people that put on the spectacle in the show and just, you don't want none.
Yeah, it was totally, and the thing is, it was totally one of those times too where she could have been fine. You know what I'm saying? The woman that got beat up definitely started it and kept instigating it until she got her ass whooped. Like, she got in her face, and the woman, and she was like, now listen, she did the universal. I thought this was a black thing. I did not know that white people do this too. She did the universal slowly taking my accessories off.
Why you too busy jacking your lips?
And the whole time I was watching, I said,
leaving later.
I was like, that woman got hands.
Leaving later.
So what time?
Like three.
Three?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
Nah, no problem.
Oh, you good,
man.
Baby.
But look, she did the universal slowly taking my shit off. That always means a woman got hands. Every single time. Like, I've never seen it the other way.
And she was sitting down.
Yes.
That's the seat.
She started taking off her shoes. I said, oh, like, run. You know what I'm saying? Run.
You see the earrings come out, especially, you know, they got 2-3 holes. They'll take them all off. They start stripping off the necklaces. The
bracelets, don't let them put their hair in the ponytail. Don't let them put their hair in the ponytail. Like, I'm surprised you giving somebody this much time to do it. I wouldn't fight a person that was doing it. I wouldn't give a fuck if it was a dude. If he start taking off accessories and putting their hair up, I'm like, oh, no, hold up, brother. It's not that serious.
Problems.
It's not even that serious. All right, here's the video, Karen. Let me give you the sound and make it bigger. I'll make this shit bigger. Oh, why is it? Oh, because I muted up here. All right. So, all right, here we go. This is a...
Oh.
It says something about shooting her in the fucking face. Oh, also, the woman that got beat up is supposedly pregnant.
Come on.
She got her ass whooped for two.
Come on.
That's her fault. Okay? I'm not going to feel bad.
She's pregnant like Cersei's pregnant.
You fucking stupid bitch.
She got it.
It's old.
You put your fucking hands on me. You take the right shit. And then you fucking stand on it and put your hands on me.
Shout out to the black security guard who waited till the ass whooping was over. I see you, player. I see you, playboy. I see you. He was like, not yet. Okay, she's done. Let's break this up, ladies.
Damn shame
what happened just now.
Right, because her thing was like, I was cool with you yelling, but you put your hands on me. Yeah, we're going to have a motherfucking problem.
Yeah, you not, keep your hands off people.
And you being pregnant ain't got a goddamn thing to do with you putting your fucking hands on me.
Right.
Did she mush her in the face for real?
Yo, she mushed her in the face. She hit her with the, man, that she hit her with them hands of justice. Them beats sounded solid. That sound like a drum beat, like pop 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 pop. Hold on, I'm about to play this again. I gotta show y'all one more time.
I'm taking my shit off so that if she puts her hands on me, I can defend.
Now see, she warned you there.
Yeah, she won.
She gave you intention. This is Florida. It's a stand your ground state. She said, I'm taking my shit off so if she gets in my face, I can defend myself. And this woman went and said, I'm gonna get in your face so you can defend yourself, and was not prepared. Like, in any way, that woman was not prepared for the ruckus. Okay?
Mm-mm.
She didn't even throw a punch, I don't think. She just got in her face. Like, bitch, do something.
I'm taking my shit off so that if she puts her hands on me, I can defend myself.
I'm in room 405. Okay, well, we're not going to make it to room 405, honey.
You fucking stupid bitch. Why you fucking retarded?
Y'all there?
Yes.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, you couldn't hear the audio, but she basically said the woman who got beat up said, I'm in room 405. You're not making it to room 405, dog. It's happening in the lobby right now, so go lay down in room 405 later on and put some ice on your head, because you done got mollywop, dog. It was so good. Thank you, white lady. 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, under zero.
Zero for Karen. Okay, what about you, Corey?
-100.
All right, yep, I give this a zero myself. Don't feel fucked with this at all. Don't write me about how violence is always wrong or it's wrong to hit a pregnant lady. I don't give a fuck. Don't be racist to people you don't know and get your ass whipped in the lobby of a hotel and go viral. That's what should not happen.
Right.
Also, shout out to that lady that whipped her ass. She also had put out like either a Facebook or Twitter post that was like, listen, I know people just try to give me extra props because I'm white, but really, I know it would have been different if I was black, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yo, who's educating these white people? Because that's starting to happen more, where like the family of Heather Heyer, they put out a statement like, hey, look, we know that y'all care because Heather was white, but if she would have been black and been at that protest, y'all should be just as mad.
Come on, is these white folks getting the safety pin boxes? Don't nobody tell nobody?
Tell something, dog.
I mean, come on.
Deteriorating dust mite, Stacey Dash calls Auntie Maxine Waters a buffoon. Of course, there's headlines brought to you by Bossip, of course, where I get all my shady headlines. Apparently, she tried it. Stacey Dash blasts Maxine Waters. this article. Aged Applehead Stacey Dash is still...
Oh, Lord! The shade
is still making asinine comments from the unemployment line.
Oh.
You know, it's funny, last week I really did ask what happened to Stacey Dash, because it's like she just disappeared after Fox got rid of her. I thought somebody else would have picked her up.
Mm-mm.
But no,
I told her, ain't no nigga in the office, why we need you.
Mm-hmm. The defunct and deteriorating Fox News commentator took time away from doing absolutely nothing to come for none other than Auntie Maxine Waters. Stacey retweeted a post about Maxine's Black Girls Rock acceptance speech where she blasted her alt-right ultra-conservative haters.
Oh, refresh, baby.
Oh, I need to refresh? Mm-hmm. Okay, give me 1 second, everybody. I'll be right back.
That sound is gone.
Oh, okay. Oh, maybe that's what happened earlier. All right, refreshing, guys. It'll take like a minute or whatever, and we'll get right back to it. But, yeah, Stacey out here in these streets still talking shit, man. Like, you ain't got no job. Just go do what people without jobs do and shut up. You know? She spent all that time telling other black people to shut up, and stop complaining. And then they go on Twitter and shit, and it's like, ain't you the snowflake? Do you need a safe space? Like, Maxine can't go to a black girl event and have fun. Like, that's the only time you bring up anything, is to tell black people not to have fun, not to do things for blackness. Like, get the fuck out of here. And Stacey Dash is legitimately one of those people that wouldn't be famous without black people. Like, the beginning of her career is all us being like, oh, Stacey Dash, I know who that is. Like, get the fuck out of here. All right, I'm almost back here.
No problem.
There I go. All right, so I'll be back in a second. There we go. All right, she called her a corrupt media buffoon instead of the light in the black community she is. Stacey Dash tweets, this is how you spin a corrupt media buffoon sucking up her late in life 15 minutes. And it was Black Girl Rock's acceptance speech, Auntie Maxine Waters, and it was basically a BET.com link. Which, who would you be without BET.com? Like, first place I seen Stacey Dash was probably on some BET shit. So.
Right.
But yeah, the nerve of this crumbled cookie face heifer, says Bossa don't play, man.
Whoever wrote this was angry.
People are now rightfully dragging Stacey and claiming Auntie Maxine's, Auntie Maxine's time. Fun how representative Maxine Waters 15 minutes is lasting longer than at real Stacey Dash entire career. Someone said, and if anyone knows about corrupt media buffoons sucking up their late in life 15 minutes, girl, have a seat. And it's Prince gift that now sis, have a seat. Yep. So she got drugged to hell for it. Karen, 0 to 100.
A 100 for her.
Okay. What about you, Corey?
Yeah, she get 100.
Yeah, 100 for Stacey, a lifetime achievement, 100 person now.
Exactly.
When's she gonna just pop up and say something normal? Like, what happened? What is the switch that flips in, like, the coonery or whatever, where it's like, everything I say for the rest of my life is gonna be, fuck black people? Like, you can't never just have a tweet like, had a delicious Pop-Tart this morning. Like, you really have to wake up and be like, black people enjoying Pop-Tarts is the problem with America, and y'all the reason the Pop-Tarts cost so much. Mm-hmm. Like, what happened?
Because you got to keep your job. The second you act normal, white folks going to become uninterested.
It's weird because she ain't got a job, and she's still talking like this.
She's seeking one. She like, somebody eventually going to pick me up.
I'm waiting for the first nigga to be like, I was cooning on TV, but then they fired me, and now I'm back. You know what I'm saying? I'm waiting on that dude to be like, look, man, I said what I had to say, man. Fox was giving out checks for any black person saying, what was I supposed to do? I was broke. I was living out of my car. And they said, hey, put on a suit and come say black people ain't shit. They gave me $1,000. They stopped paying me. I'm back, y'all. Sorry. See you at the cookout. You know?
There'll be people standing outside locking them out. Nope. We're bringing your plate, but what you ain't gonna do is get in the party. You'll be here's your to-go plate. Take your ass home.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's forever.
You can't come to the Aria of Three Piece.
Yeah, you can't come to the, no, the Aria of Three Piece is a wrap for you, bro. Mm-mm. Sorry. Meek Mill, wrongful death lawsuit is laced with racist allegations. So, Meek Mill insists that he had nothing to do with two people dying outside the place he performed, and the venue claims that people are suing, that the people that are suing are a bunch of racists. The rapper filed new legal docs defending himself in a wrongful death suit filed against him, alleging his thug fans incited the violence at his December concert outside of Oakdale Theater in Wallingford, Connecticut. In a document obtained by TMZ, Meek calls BS on the allegations. His murderous lyrics incited the violence. Listen, I have listened to a lot of rap in my life. Mm-hmm. I have never killed a nigga because of a rap song.
Okay? Never.
We can't do that. Where it's just like, I had to kill him, man. The song was too jamming. You know what I mean? Like,
the beats was too banging.
Ever.
Right.
Ever. You can't blame music for something that's outside of you.
Right.
Come on, man. That's not the way it works.
Like, what the fuck was the slavery soundtrack then? Cause I want to know what they was listening to. What was that jamming? You know what I mean? I'm about to own a person today. Live Nation, which runs Oakdale, is also being sued, claims the victim's family has stooped to racial stereotypes by calling the fan thugs. As we reported, a hail of bullets killed two and injured two outside of Oakdale Theater. The plaintiff attorney Joel Faxon tells TMZ he's confident the families of those shot at the concert agree Mr. Mill meets the definition of a thug.
Was the victim black, or was somebody in there, was the victim white?
They don't have the pictures of the victims. He also said Meek owes concert goers a duty to provide a safe concert experience and warn them of past violence at his events.
What? That's the venue's job. What are we talking about here?
Also, what would I... Hey, guys. Before we perform tonight, I just would like to say, sometimes people get beat up in my shows.
You know happens at a lot of people's shows? Like, not only black people, like, across the country. There's a lot of white shows where they be ruckusing and fucking people up, too.
Right. I'm also trying to, like... So before, like, is it specific songs? Like, does Wu-Tang have to come out and be like, listen, guys, we're about to perform. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. And things have been known to get rowdy. So I'm gonna need everybody to understand you will get your ass whooped coming down the stage. All right, let's get it going. Like, what the fuck? But yeah, calling them thugs, come on guys, we know what that means.
Just call them niggas.
Just call them niggas. Zero to 100, Karen.
Oh, 100.
All right, what about you, Corey?
Yeah, 100.
Yeah, I give it 100 too, man. And rest in peace to them people, man. Nobody should die at a concert, right? I get that, like, not saying it's right. Okay, but how you gonna blame the performer? Like, did he shoot them? Because if not,
come on, did he shoot them?
Right, did he say shoot them? Like, I don't know.
He didn't, I don't understand.
You know, I don't listen to that much Meek Mill, but I imagine that it can't be no worse than Lil Jon and Eastside Boys, and they never got sued. Mm-mm. And them songs was about fighting.
It was gave instructions.
Right. They'd be like, what side of the street you live on? The left side or the right side? And they'd be like, left side, stand up. And the right side, y'all stand up. Now fight that nigga over there. You'd be like, yes. I will fuck this nigga up.
The Hunger Games of rap shows.
Right? Listen, Lil Jon, I stopped going to the club when Lil Jon came on. I was like, I know the rules. It was like, now east side, so you say you scared. Now south side, if you scared, say you scared. And be like, now look at them and say, fuck your hood. I'm like, wait a minute. Mm-mm. Wait.
When I heard certain beats drop, I was like, that is my cue to go.
I'm like, this Simon Says got a little too... Something about this Lil Jon Says game got a little too real.
Right, Lil Jon Says, yeah. Right.
You told me to tell that dude to shout out his hood and then tell him, fuck your hood. How he not gonna swing on me?
Right.
You know what I mean? So, all right. Let's play some Guess the Race, guys.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Dun-dun-dun. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe. We ask our contestant today, Corey from The Living Color, the band, to guess the race. And Chatman plays along and Karen plays along and they all races. Let's see, how about...
I'm watching y'all sing, and it's the most hilarious shit in the world.
You gotta give them a show, man.
Oh, they're terrible, yes.
You know you gotta give them a show. this is what the people want.
Right? It's bad singing and hand driving.
Oh, man.
That's why they tune in live.
School officials have fired a bus driver accused of driving under the influence with 31 children on board.
Woo! Mm-hmm. That came to work lit.
Carol Etheridge was arrested in Loganville Middle School grounds on Monday after taking a field sobriety test. According to school leaders, a student on the school bus she was driving noticed something wasn't right. A student on the bus actually notified their parent, and the parent notified school, said Colleen Moore. With Walton County Schools, investigators said they found a large bottle of tequila, 4 small bottles of vodka, and 4 bottles of prescription pills in her purse. Listen, Karen. I feel safe to say this woman felt them kids getting on her motherfucking nerves.
Oh, she had. You know what? She had. She came to work lit. She had partied all night long. It was like, fuck it. Instead of calling out, using your PTO time. She was like, I ain't got no more. I'm going to work today.
I'm not saying. I just feel pretty certain.
Yeah, stressed
that
out.
If you had asked this woman about them damn kids, she would have told you they getting on my motherfucking nerves a lot.
Sit your ass down.
Oh, man. Karen, guess the race. Wait, what was her first name? Carol Etheridge.
Investigators say they found these bottles in a school.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go white.
Karen's going white. What about you, Corey? Mm.
You said a student called their parents to say that she was drunk. If it was me, I'd have wanted to just watch it. I wouldn't turn the phone on. I'd turn the phone on and film her, not call my parents. So she had to be white.
That's a good point. If it would have been like a world star video catches a school bus
right?
Right.
A world star video with the phone not turned in landscape catches a school bus driver. All right, let me see. Chat room, y'all guessed the race. White, white, the wheels on the bus go drink, drink, drink. Miss Cravaffle on any Wednesday. White woman wasted. White woman not ready to catch these hands. Becky with the Molly Tov cocktail. White. Black kids will have beat her ass white. White woman weaving. Tis a white woman. Rough night extra white. Bombing like that movie.
Aww.
Drunk sorority girl white. The correct answer is she was white. You all got it. Let me put her picture on the screen so y'all can see what she looked like. She just looked like, you know, she needed a pick-me-up, guys. You guys know what it's like.
I mean, because that was a lot of alcohol that she had in her pocketbook. I was like, good God.
Yeah, she clearly, you know, like I said, she's on her last straw with them little badass kids.
She had enough.
What's the bus lady on South Park?
Yeah. Yes, the one that had, like, the bird nest in her hair or some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Karen, let me know when it shows up in the chat if I, you know how this thing does. I might have to reload or some shit.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Okay, all right, give me one more second. Let me try bringing it back up. Give me one second.
No problem.
But yeah, you know, it's funny, she looked like she could be just somebody's grandma or aunt or some shit, but you know, obviously she couldn't deal with it, man. Which is sad because, you know, if she would have been a teacher, you could teach drunk. But driving drunk, nah, that's too far. I'm sorry. Can't support it. all right. Now, let me know if it comes up now. There was more information on the story, too. Yeah, she was charged with a DUI and 16 counts of endangering a child.
Woo, they popped up with all the charges.
Why is it only 16 counts if there's 31 kids on the bus?
I don't know. Did they charge for every bottle she had?
Man, it's for every seat.
No, they charged, the white kids charged her.
Oh, yeah. The black kids like, man, it's more dangerous just living where I'm at. This the safest thing I did all year.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it's still not coming up. All right, give me one more chance, Karen. I'm going to refresh and bring it up. Sorry, guys. be right back. Yeah, that's what it was. Black kids was like, man, shit, it's Tuesday.
Right.
Yeah, they was like, she probably do this all the time.
Right. I been knew she was drinking.
Come on. They were like, look, just don't kill me. Get me to school right. Safe.
Plus, you know, we would have known that she was black depending on what she was drinking.
Like, right, exactly. Right.
She had three bags of Crown Royal.
She had four Mad Dog 2020s.
Crown Royal come in bags, not bottles. She had three bags of Crown Royal.
And one bag had all her Percocet in it.
You're right. There was some malt.
All the bags were purple.
Yeah. She had some malt liquor.
oh, she had some Colt 45.
Right. she also said, I ain't got time today to be playing with y'all. So that's how you know she black. All right. So it should pop up this time, Karen. Give it like 10 seconds. But yeah, then we'll get to the next story. But yeah,
Yeah, she's an older white lady too.
Yeah, she's smiling in the picture. I don't know if that's after she was drunk, if that's a mugshot, but she's like, ain't no need for me to be out here sad.
Right?
Because I'm smiling because these goddamn kids is out of my life out of my hair
forever.
you know what's not?
You look like a lady from South Park,
right? You know what's not in this jail cell? Them damn kids. I'm smiling.
We can still see your screen.
Oh, y'all can still see it? Oh, yes. Hold on. We can't have that. Hold up. We don't need y'all cheating. How do I make this smaller? Did it go away yet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. All right, now let's go to the next one. I don't need nobody cheating. police hunt a mother of one who gave oral sex to a man in the middle of a McDonald's restaurant in broad daylight.
Well, damn.
Mm-hmm.
Was the Big Mac that good?
Well, she must have wanted that special sauce, Karen. Everybody know that's the best part. A woman who allegedly performed oral sex on a man in a Pennsylvania McDonald's is now being sought by sheriff's deputies after she failed to turn up to court. State police say the mother of one, Christine Alana Chaffin, 37, performed the sex act on Conrad Jablecki, 30, at the restaurant in Shrewsbury, Pennsylvania in March. Chaffin was then arrested and had her arraignment scheduled for July 21st, while she subsequently skipped out, leading the county issuing a warrant for her arrest. Police were called to McDonald's around 1 p.m. on March 3rd after a staff said they saw a young woman giving oral sex to Jablecki and kicked them both out of the restaurant. Jablecki was then arrested and charged with indecent exposure and open lewdness, but the female suspect wasn't identified. State Trooper Brent Miller said that Chaffin's identity emerged on the course of the investigation. She was then arrested and charged with open lewdness and disorderly conduct. But after she failed to appear for a court hearing, a warrant for her arrest was put out by the county. She remains at large. Chaffin of Maryland is a mother of a young boy and has convictions for driving under the influence of a controlled substance, marijuana possession, and careless driving, according to the Smoking Gun. Jablecki is also from Maryland, although it's unclear whether they are a couple or whether he is the father of her child. He has been released on his own recognizance and has attended his court appearances. Jablecki was, who describes himself as the head honcho at Oasis Landscaping on Facebook, has previously been convicted of disorderly conduct and public drunkenness. He also has a conviction of exposing himself to a woman and her five-year-old daughter on a Maryland beach in 2012, for which he spent 60 days in jail. His Facebook account contains repeated posts of photos and texts related to sex. This man, he didn't get him off the street. He wrote in 2016 that he'd been looking for a bad bitch with mean head game. So, maybe she finally answered that post. I don't know.
Apparently so.
He says, so hot when a woman knows how to. Damn, I sure can't wait to meet a girl who is a super freak. We're not guessing his race, but we are guessing her race.
White.
But I will tell you this, they are both the same race.
White.
Karen's going white. All right. Corey?
This is a tough one for real, because, mm-hmm. you know, Maryland, we don't know the father.
Mm-hmm. This does test all your racism awareness right here. It's a hard one.
Da 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 da.
She must got, hey, you know, she got that McNuggets loving.
Yeah, she does.
She got
that McNugget head game.
That's what they call it from now on, getting your McNuggets on.
Mm-hmm. That McChicken, dog.
I'm going to go away.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Got and could afford Bell White, extra white with mayo, food folks and fellatios, white as the jet, white as the as Jablecki that landed on her, the Rock and Roll McDonald's is a fancy date, white trash, nasty ass white. I don't know why that one hurt me so much more than the regular ones, but that's a good one. The McFlurry machine was broke, so she took matters into her own hands. White, it do be broke though. Ando from Dundalk, white. Shamrock Shake, white. Heywood, you blow me to Blacky.
Ouch, ouch, ouch.
Corny as fuck, white. Conrad made me want to go white. You want some fries with that cum shake? Sucking dick for a Big Mac, black and white. The correct answer is, and you won't be able to hear the sound effects, but it's applause. You guys both got it right. She was white, and they were both white. And some of y'all actually said black, like a couple of y'all went black on this one, and I had to play the boo sound effect for y'all. Once again, Corey won't be able to hear it on the phone, but I'm about to play it right now. I don't know how y'all both got that it was white. That was a hard one to me.
I think
that was hard. That one was difficult. But when you said that both she and the dude were both the same race, and his name was Jablowski, whatever that name is.
Yeah, Jablecki.
Jablecki?
Yeah.
That's a white shit.
Yeah, you said it was in Pennsylvania. There's not a lot of black folks up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said the name of his job was some Oasis.
Yeah, he was a landscaper.
Landscaper? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The head honcho?
Yeah, that was... How do I make this bigger? Can I make this bigger so y'all can see it?
There you go.
Okay, it worked. Okay, cool. Yeah, but he's, listen, I hate this word, but it's true. He's not just white. He's like Wigger white, where he got that, like, right. You could tell his Facebook post is in all Ebonics and shit. Like, he's sitting up there like, need me a girl with some head game. Look at this picture of him at the bottom, man. Like, what is this, bro?
I have no idea.
Come on, fam.
No, you don't dress like that. You had khakis and slacks on. Why are you playing?
Oh, man. It's funny because getting blown in the midday in the broad daylight of a McDonald's is like one of the straight up whitest crimes. Like, why would you do that? Why would you think you could get away with that?
Everybody walking around.
She really read his post and was like, oh, he looking for a bitch with a mean head game? Okay. Oh,
we can see your screen.
Oh, damn. Here we go again. All right. Hold on. Let me fix this one more time. Like, you looking for a bitch with a mean head game? That's what I'm talking about, boy. Shit. I'll apply for that job. All right. Let's see. How about, let's go to the bonus round. Where's my bonus round music? Here we go. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the racism in the bonus round of Guess the Race. So far, Karen and Corey are both 2 for 2, y'all.
Woo-hoo!
Right? The racism is on fleek, apparently. We about to find out in the bonus round, though, if they got what it takes. Here we go. See if we can break this tie. Or if Corey becomes in a small group of people.
A small group.
That'll come on this show and got all the racism right.
Yeah, right? I've been dealing with this for a long time.
Let's see. All right, here we go. A shocking dash cam video shows a drunk mother, 31 years old, being pulled over with an unbuckled baby in the back seat and admitting to officers she was drinking Fireball. That Fireball is good, y'all.
Ain't it, though? It tastes straight like candy.
Not good enough to let your kid walk around in the car and then you drive drunk, but come on.
Not that good, but yeah.
A shocking dash cam video shows an allegedly intoxicated mother erratically driving with her toddler unbuckled in the back seat. Brandy Lerma, 31, was spotted weaving along a road by a tow truck driver last Saturday in West Palm Beach, Florida. When police pulled Lerma out of her car, they said they found her 3-year-old child unbuckled in the back seat. In the astonishing police video, Lerma is seen stumbling about on the side of the road before admitting to the officer she had 2 cups of Fireball. Mm.
Not shots, cups.
Cups, yeah.
Yeah,
like them Red Solo cups.
Right, so, like, no. I thought you drink Fireball like by shots.
Me
really.
Too.
Okay,
I'm new.
She on some other shit, dog. That's like drinking Scope. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
The mother tripped over herself and slurred her words during the field sobriety test. Police said Lerma confessed to not only drinking the whiskey but also to taking Percocet and Xanax. Before she got behind the wheel.
I guess that's the thing, to mix your drugs and your alcohol.
Yep. Now Lerma, who has had multiple traffic citations, is facing several charges, including DUI and child abuse. The tow truck driver called Juan Martinez called in to police to report Lerma's erratic driving. I was afraid she was going to kill someone, Martinez said in a statement to detectives with Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office. Martinez said she nearly hit 4 cars and looked drunk or under the influence. The video shows an officer telling behind her car as she almost swerved into oncoming traffic. Lerma was pulled over to one side of the road, and the officer noted that he was greeted with an extremely strong odor of an unknown type of alcoholic beverage. The deputy added the odor grew stronger as she spoke. Oh, so it's coming from her mouth. The arresting officer continued in the report. Lerma's speech was also slurred. She was initially unable to locate the documents I requested from her, despite the fact that they were plainly visible to me inside her wallet.
Oh, Lord! She was smashed.
Just let me get my license. It's here somewhere, okay? The video shows officers removing the child from the backseat of the car, and the 3-year-old was unrestrained. A report claims Lerma failed to maintain a single lane while she drove. A DUI team was sent to give her a roadside test. According to the arrest report, she failed twice during the test. Lerma is heard in the video offering up an explanation of how much she drank, saying that she had maybe a little before mentioning she had 2 cups of Fireball. She then attempts to use her hands to indicate how large the cup of whiskey were. The field sobriety test lasted nearly 20 minutes as Lerma is seen at her giggling as she fails to walk in a straight line and stumble over. When she is finally put in the back of the squad car, she apparently realizes the event wasn't so funny. The mother begins screaming and kicking the back of the seats, yelling, "I will kill you, I will kill you." Lerma took two breath tests. The results were 2.20 and 0.187.
Shit. She was lit.
That's like almost three times. The legal limit is 0.08, and Palm Beach Post reported that Lerma was released on $3,000 bond and that she had multiple citations for passengers younger than 18 years old not wearing a seatbelt. Karen, guess the race of, what is her first name? Brandy Lerma.
White.
Karen's going white. All right. Corey?
How you spelling Brandy?
Brandy.
That's another tough one. Because, but I don't know black folks that drink a lot of Fireball, so I'm gonna go with white.
All right, let's check the chat room. I like hearing your deduction skills and, you know, how you breaking it down. Nicole says the only spicy food they eat is liquor. White. This is tough, but I'll go white. The fact that she couldn't find her license because she was so blasted, but the article stated with started with allegedly drunk, gotta mean white. Fuck AA white. Come on, man.
No.
Come on, man. White due to the use of the words shocking and alleged. Surprise, they didn't call her a supermom. Still not as fucked up as the hotel beatdown woman white. Gotta go white. Only folks I know that drink Fireball is white folks. Happy Sunday, precious white angel. Sipping Fireball, telling her child to sing Molly Percocet. White. love her Tay Tay white. White, yeah. Oh yeah, the queen back. We didn't even mention that. Taylor back. She dropped that single.
Yeah.
Already getting accused of stealing from Formation.
The jokes was good. We probably talk about that tomorrow. The jokes was mwah.
They were some good jokes, dog.
Black Twitter came out with all the jokes.
All the way back. Always gotta outdo black folks who drinks two cups of Fireball. But she didn't die after they were patient with her and her saying that she would kill a cop. White. Oh yeah, that's right. They didn't even accuse her of
resisting arrest. No,
what do you call it, like when you threaten a cop, like that's a crime. You can't say
it
that
is.
Anyway, yeah, she white, y'all. You know, like, she might be like Latino white passing, but she white, you know. Wait till y'all see this mug shot though. Like, I'm just saying, you could clearly
is that the same?
She should have seen it coming is what I'm saying, Karen. Okay, like, I don't know how she I don't know how she didn't see all sides of the road, cause her eyes.
Woo!
Oh damn!
Ain't they big?
The eyes have it. You know what I'm saying?
Woo! The eyes won that one.
You know, from her view,
woo,
I feel like she should have seen it all. And like, I thought it was just a mug shot, but then she got another picture just like on her Facebook, and her eyes, she's got crazy eyes. She can't help it, man.
Yeah, she got, you just have, her eyes just look like that, y'all.
Man, I feel bad for all the people that got crazy eyes. It's not crazy, but.
Right.
The correlation is pretty uncanny. It's almost 1-to-1 that if a motherfucker got crazy eyes, they also crazy. All right, last thing, guys, sword ratchetness, and we're gonna get out of here. Get my sword sound effect going. The longest sound effect in the world.
Right, so it might be a few seconds when you don't hear us talking, baby.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's dead.
Is there a video for that?
No.
There's not?
No, I got that off Spotify, the sound effects thing. I was like, sword fight. That would be a good thing to go into sword ratcheting segment. And it just turned out to be the longest fucking sword fight. I mean, at this point, I'm just keeping it because it's funny at this point. But I'm like, damn, this shit took 30 seconds. Y'all don't even want it. One time I went down a rabbit hole of sound effects on Spotify, guys. If you ever had time and you're bored, go do it. It's fun. And I gotta tell you, there are some racist ones on there.
Oh Lord.
That are magnifique. Okay. They are like, it's clearly a white dude who did all the voices and stuff, but it's one that's like people having sex, but then one of them is like black people having sex, an Asian person having sex.
No, and they didn't play black and Asian voice actors.
Listen, it's as racist as you think it would be.
Oh Lord.
Like
now,
they didn't
see,
pay.
Now I want to hear it.
Like they didn't pay a black man to do the voice.
Right.
It's what a white person thinks a black man sounds like having sex. If I find it again, it doesn't just say black man having sex. It's named something else.
Right.
But if I find it again, guys, I had to play it on the show for y'all because it's like, okay. It's like he's doing that voice like, oh shit. God damn. This some good pussy right here, girl. I'm like, that's not how we talk. Like, where'd you learn this from? Wesley Pipes?
I mean, when he did the Asian people, did he do like the Johnny Quest?
He did the racist.
Oh,
yes.
No.
Yeah. Oh, this is a good pussy. He did all that.
Oh, that's good.
I was like, this is just racist. It's not even.
Oh, that's really good.
I'm like, and who would need this sound effect? Like, what? Cause it's like one of them like free to use this sound effect, you know.
He's like, no wonder why it's free.
You can't put this in your movie, dog. Like, you're gonna get protested. Anyway, a pizza fight ends with a knife and sword assault in Inman, South Carolina. An argument between two men over a pizza fight turned into a fight with a knife and a sword. They say the incident happened around August 22nd at 9:47 p.m. When deputies got there, the front door was open and a man was yelling. The man in the home told deputies that another man came to the house and they started arguing over a pizza. He said the other man came at him in an aggressive manner with a knife or a sword, so he hit him in the back of the head with a stick to defend himself. Yeah, he said the man then slashed his leg. The man with the knife slash sword left the scene before deputies got there and no charges were filed. What was the art like? Can I have a slice? Is that the argument?
I don't know.
Maybe he misinterpreted it. Can I have a slice? A pizza, nigga, a pizza, damn.
Right.
Not of me, bitch. like, what the fuck? Kind of confusion was that, man? And also, this is in less ratchet news, but still sword news. You can now buy a Game of Thrones sword-shaped sex toy.
What?
Huh? Yes, they are taking it there, guys. I don't know how y'all get down in the bedroom. Whether you,
you don't come in there trying to be Arya. What the fuck is happening?
Whether you're trying to bang your sister,
whether, your aunt, your great
whether it's your aunt. Yeah, whether it's your aunt. Maybe, you know, look, maybe you're a eunuch and you ain't got nothing down there, but you still want to please Masan Bay because you can't let that one go unpleased. Look at her. Mm-hmm. You can't have her out here walking around unpleased. So you got to buy you a Game of Thrones sex toy to get up in there. So I'll try to put it on screen for y'all too so y'all can see.
Is it made of Valyrian steel?
Yes!
Yeah, it's as long
is
as
it
not,
a dragon glass?
Right, as long as it's not dragon glass. Yeah.
What is it made out of the Ice King had?
The Ice Javelin?
Yes.
Hey, you better not put that in nobody.
why is he a spear chucker, man?
Come yo, on, Duke. I want to find. I hope the twist is that they the black people. They just taking shit back.
I don't think they.
They're
are.
Like we made an ice now, but we just taking our shit back, bro. We don't appreciate y'all. But yeah, he was a spear chucker. I was like, ah, that.
Come on.
He was super accurate with it though. But that's is it showing up now? Y'all see it? Yeah.
So you use the handle. Oh, okay.
Game of Bones, dog.
Oh no.
Why's it got John's hilt? You know, with the wolf?
Because that's what all the women want.
Yeah, they do want some John. That's a good point. Lusty Game of Thrones fans can have a go at ambushing their partner's King's Landing with a dildo inspired by the show. It's gonna be a Game of Bones.
Can I ask y'all a question? I don't know if maybe y'all know this.
Yeah.
How tall is Jon Snow? Because everybody's looking down on him nowadays.
He should have stayed in the north because it seemed like he about 5'8". You know what I'm saying?
I'm 5'8". So
yeah.
Everybody got to be tiny. Everybody gotta be giants in that motherfucker.
Yeah, it was one thing when it was Brienne looking down at him and stuff, but now it's like, I mean, Sansa looks down, but Sansa's kind of tall. Looks down at him. You know,
I think Danny was looking down at him the other
day. Right, that's the one that got me. I was like, how tall is this nigga? And then when they put it in the script, when she was like, yeah, he too little, I was like, oh damn, that hurt. Short men everywhere, like, for real, Danny, you're not gonna give him the pussy because he's little?
Right.
I hate the dragon queen now. I was cool. Don't bend the knee for her. Don't bend the knee.
Yeah, I'm out there like Arya, 5'2", 5'3".
Yeah.
Right.
There's no shortage of people who find HBO drama a real turn on, with plenty of nudity, sex, and passionate shenanigans on every episode. But for the price tag of $110.
Damn.
It is made out of Valerian steel, then.
That better be some orgasm. Okay, guys?
Yeah, that shit better.
You can get a Hitachi for less than that.
Right. That shit better be hard as a rock. It better have different modes. And you know, I better not be manually doing everything.
I don't see no switches on this either. Mm-hmm. Do it even vibrate?
Do it spin?
Right. 110?
Does it raise the dead?
Right. Right.
I guess it's going to be raising them dead pussies that died years ago.
Can I kill White Walkers with this shit? Because if not, it's going to have to come down on that price a little bit. Right. Y'all got any dragon glass ones? Because I'll pay for that. Like, this is crazy. The impressive looking sex toy is definitely one for serious fans only. The makers of the sword shaped tool, geeksextoys.com, claim that the 11.5-inch long dildo is ideal for people who want medieval inspired romps. In the blurb on their website, they even make a reference to hunky Jon Snow, one of the show's most lusted after characters. They write, have you been dreaming of a long thick shaft? But then this dildo sword will fulfill your fantasy. You know nothing until you have experienced orgasmic sensations with this dildo sword. The sword's hilt also allows for maximum penetration and pleasure.
I guess 11.5. Yeah, you better make it above average.
Yeah.
Like, you're not trying to be funny. Like, if
$110.
I'm paying that. I'm not getting no 6 to 8 inches. No, right. No. Mm-mm.
Do they call it the Podrick?
Yes.
The BBC.
That big Bravo's cock dog.
Yes!
The gray sex toys, sword style handle features a wolf head at the end, ideal for living out the Night's Watch fantasy. I don't know. That's weird, the Night's Watch fantasy, because Night Watch supposed to be all like rapists and also like criminals and shit, and then they supposed to be sworn to celibacy. But right. You know, I don't know if the Night's Watch fantasy is the one you want to be reliving. Shout out to Cassius Keith.
So when you get there, you go, my watch is ended,
right? Yeah. Girl, you done? Because now my watch is ended. Blah, damn, I'm out. That would, it would be worth it just for that one time, you know what I mean?
She did come up. I'm at the wild time for you to open them gates, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This is what Tormund need for Brienne, man.
Yeah.
All you need to complete the look is an IKEA rug slung over your shoulders, and it's, I guess, a link to some type of IKEA rug. That's
for cosplay. I can see people cosplaying that. Like, if you
with already, the dildo?
No. Yeah, you already got the outfits and stuff, and the dildo just will kind of go along, because you know some people cosplay these characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess there's an IKEA rug that looks like Jon Snow's. That KP wears with the wolf on it.
With the wolf?
Yeah, so. All right, man. Whew, this was fun. All right.
This was fun, baby.
Corey, we had a great time, man.
Yes, we got to get you on again.
Sincerely, dog. This is a dream come true.
Anytime you want me on your show, anytime you want me somewhere, I will be there. Like I said, I will sing your jingles. I will do whatever I need to do for y'all.
Hey, and that's what's up.
Look, Karen, I'm sorry. I haven't done a 5-star review. I know.
Yeah, we need that 5-star iTunes review, Corey. Yeah, we on the lookout, okay? And the rest of y'all Living Color people, the lady who did the artwork for the cover, you know, Vernie, I know you done heard the show, Vernie, okay? I done heard you. I want W. Kamau Bell, and by the transitive properties of knowing these brothers, I want my 5-star reviews, people.
Yeah, we got to get the rest of the crew on, too.
It'll be a great big fight if you have all four of us on there.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out the logistics on that. I was like, I don't think it's, how's that possible? But yeah, I will find a way to get y'all on, man.
Yeah,
but
if we have to get y'all all in the room and we come to y'all, we'll figure something out, baby.
We appreciate y'all, man. We appreciate you coming on.
If we come to Charlotte, you'll come anywhere in the Mecklenburg North Carolina, anywhere, y'all is fam from jump right now.
That's what's up, man.
Thank you, baby.
Yeah, y'all come here. We got to come see y'all too, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
We would love that.
Well, so yeah, make sure y'all get the album, dog. Like all this stuff that we just said. Also, get the album, Shade, coming out September 8th, dog. Like y'all had me from the name. You know what I'm saying? I was like, Shade, that is what I'm talking about. You know?
Yeah. Now I don't have to. I don't have like I'm waiting for the download. Every day I wait for your download to come to my phone so I can listen. I don't have to do that today.
Yeah, you know what happened. You was here.
I was there.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention also for premium people in the Crowdcast, we're doing a live show at 4 today for the Nerd Off. It's gonna be Karen,
it's gonna be ladies,
yeah, the doctor from MTR Network and Shannon from MTR Network. So it's gonna be all the ladies, and they want to come on and talk about Doctor Who because we have been talking shit about Doctor Who without watching it, and they love it and they tired of us talking shit. So we are
I tried.
Yeah,
I tried.
Never attempted to watch it.
Yeah, I know they probably gonna be hot listening to this right now. It's too many rules to watch. It's
right. Like I watched some old ones. At one time, Netflix had all the like original ones from the first from the 60s. I was like, this is some cheesy shit right here.
I tried. I couldn't watch them when I was a kid, and they came on PBS.
Right,
I was like, this some bullshit, and I would just change. I tried. I would change
like,
it.
In New York, it came on the same time as Star Trek. It's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I lost.
Not even a question. No offense to Doctor Who. But we're going to get to the bottom of it. You know, like as always, it's black people into everything. It's black people into Doctor Who. I have lots of questions for them. And then we're going to also talk about nerd news, video games, all that shit. So that'll be coming up at 4. I'll send out the email after this show. Thank you so much, Corey, for coming on.
Thank you, baby.
You know, shout out.
Karen, yo, you straight fam from now on.
Yes,
real.
Sir. Same to y'all.
Like, I always thought y'all were family before that because I didn't know y'all. But now.
Well, now we know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
y'all good people.
Yeah, we appreciate it, man. I also wanted to shout out my man who organized the interview too, because you know we had to go back and forth a few times on the email, and he looked out too. So Kevin, shout out to Kevin, man. Yeah. Appreciate you, bro. Can't wait for everybody else to hear the album. I'll continue to be jamming it, guys. Mm-hmm. So you know, let me know when y'all catch up. You know, when y'all get a copy. But I'm gonna be out here jamming, man. And we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, love you.
I love you too. Mwah.